6 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a back of my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound
that's below the
that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Oh, my goodness. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much. Much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. It just hasn't been a good week for some folks, and it's been a fabulous week for other folks. Let's start with the good news first. Let's start with the good news. And because, you know, it's difficult. out here. We hear that the economy is booming. We hear that things are going well for some folks out there. It's hard for the rest of us. Stuff's not going that well. People are struggling to pay their medical bills. It's so easy to get under a medical, a medical burden. It's easy to be weighed down with medical bills. People are living in fear that they can't get sick, because if they get sick, they can't afford to get well. That's something. They don't go to the doctor because, I mean, a copay $30 a person. How do you take a family of five if money is thin to visit your doctor with a copay? So, you know, things are tough out there, but there is good news, y'all. And I want to be the one to tell you that there is good news. And I share this story with you with the understanding and the with the hope. Let me put it that way. With the hope that you can be inspired by what happens to other people. The positive things that happen to other people, take that inspiration and use it to get throughout your day. Secure and spiritually uplifted with the knowledge that even though you may not be making it, or you may not be making it the way that you want to, some of us out here are, despite all of the trials and tribulations. ExxonMobil's quarterly profit once again surged. See, everybody's not in pain out here, y'all. The revenue for ExxonMobil jumped from $88.98 billion from $82.05 billion. See, we're not all in pain out here. Some of us are struggling along and making it. You hear what I just said? ExxonMobil has an even higher profit than they did 4 months ago. $88 billion. That's net income. That's revenue. That's revenue. $88.98 billion. Please tell me how much money it costs to run a company. Please tell me. $88 billion in revenue. All of us ain't suffering out here. All of us ain't suffering out here. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There's a bridge to a beach out here in Fort Lauderdale. This bridge is named for a Republican congressman, E. Clay Shaw Jr. And there's a gas station at the foot of that bridge named for E. Clay Shaw Jr. Gas prices are over $3 a gallon in Fort Lauderdale. And E. Shaw, a former mayor, sees it as a troubling sign because Democrats are using gas prices to attack the Republicans. Jackie Tyrone, a retired homemaker and a Bush voter who was filling up a Mercedes SL500. Is that a good one? Is that a big deal one, a Mercedes SL500? Is that a good one? She said that as she thinks about it, she says, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to vote for Congressman E. Clay Shaw Jr. this time around. I don't know which is the lesser of two evils anymore. Anger over gas prices is gaining traction in many midterm election races. Democrats are attacking Republicans for being too close to the oil companies. In Virginia, one of two candidates in the Democratic primary for Senate, Harris Miller, attacks Republican George Allen of siding with the oil companies instead of backing legislation to protect consumers. And they're using the line that's pretty funny. Looking to George Allen and George Bush to solve the gas crisis is like asking Bonnie and Clyde to solve the crime problem. I think that Republicans are going to be hard-pressed to get people to believe that it's Democrats that have blocked. I think they're going to be hard-pressed. In Maryland, the incumbent, Robert Ehrlich, took fire from his Democratic challengers, Baltimore Mayor Martin O'Malley and Montgomery County Executive Douglas Duncan. They accused him of failing consumers by not putting his clout behind the anti-gouging legislation that died. And you know what? God bless the Republicans. They are constantly tone deaf. When the Democratic challenger said, "You are failing consumers by not putting your clout behind an anti-gouging legislation," you know what this Republican said? "Stop your whining." Dang. "Ooh, I'm realistic about oil prices," he said. "I can't do anything." In Minnesota, Democratic Senate candidate Amy Klobuchar has stopped at stations to hear from consumers. In Pennsylvania's 6th District, where Democrat Lois Murphy is trying to unseat Representative Jim Garlick, Murphy has been swinging through the state all week for rallies at gas stations. All right. In Arizona, Democratic Senate candidate Jim Peterson proposed a tax rebate to families funded by eliminating oil companies' tax breaks. Wow. How about that one? We all get a rebate, a tax rebate, because Republicans are big on rebates, right? You know, I mean, I'm still trying to spend that whole $300 rebate that I got. What was that, 4 years ago? I'm still trying to spend that. That's hard to spend a whole $300. Still trying to get rid of all that money. Whew. So now the suggest, I like that one. Let's do a tax rebate to families by eliminating oil companies' tax breaks. I bet that one would get a lot of traction. At the pumps, it is clear that the incumbents had something to worry about. Thomas Fortino said, "I voted for Shaw before, but now I want change, and it's not just because of gas prices." Doesn't bode well. It doesn't bode well, but I have to be, what's the phrase? Cautiously optimistic, because, I haven't been pleased with what those Democrats have been doing. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Here's my favorite quote. "I'm boycotting ExxonMobil right now," said Deborah Shewart, a Republican, a 53-year-old Republican, who was putting $41 of gas into her car. She said her family of five is considering carpooling for the first time. "It's been tough, but I'm boycotting Exxon." Now, remember, a lot of you asked me yesterday for this, and I'm going to extend the offer again. There's an email that's circulating around that everybody needs to get to other people. Boycott ExxonMobil. Why a boycott of ExxonMobil? You boycott ExxonMobil because you got to focus all of your energies on one place. Let them take the financial heat and the financial hit. Some people have thought, well, let's have a gas out Wednesday. No, that means you just fill up your tank on Tuesday. boycott ExxonMobil. And there's a wonderful email that's going around. If you did, we can get it to millions of people if everybody sends it off to 10 people. And if you want that email, all you have to do is email me and request it at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get that email to me. I mean, I will get that email to you. You get your email to me, and we'll send it out. And I sent it all out to the folks that requested it yesterday, so keep them coming. Keep them coming. My number here is 454-0400. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding, Dolores. How are you?
Yesterday, Liz, I didn't make it to the teacher's meeting. I hated that because I had foot surgery. So I was kind of laid up with that. But let me tell you about this gas bill I got. I don't know why they're not investigating the Klee gas. I got a gas bill yesterday. Now, I gave them $300 last month. This gas bill I got yesterday said, your balance is $1,100, but we want you to pay $498. Now... Then in parentheses, and I don't know if anybody else got this, they have where they have charged me an extra $193. So I called them and I said, what is this $193 for? She said, that's for people that have been paying late. I said, what? And then she went on to say, well, Miss T, your bill is high because we've been estimating. I said, well, why have you been estimating? I have the meter reader outside of the house. She said, oh, that's not working. Boy, you know.
So wait a minute. This 1,000 and something is a brand new bill?
That's a brand new bill.
You didn't have 1,000 something on your bill before the last bill that you paid?
The last bill I had, I gave him $300. The bill was $900.
Okay.
So down in the bottom, they have your balance is $1,100. So I told her, I said, do you know my gas? We turned this gas off. I know it's been since the end of February when it got warm. I said, so where are you getting all this from? That's when she went on to tell me that these are estimated bills. So what we decided to do, you know, a lady called in and said, what can we do? Well, what we're going to do is what a friend of ours did. If we don't have a bill, Liz, we just going to have one bill. We're getting everything turned, the furnace, everything, to electric. And just because this is getting outrageous.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Because they don't estimate your electric. You know, if they're gouging you, you don't know that they're gouging you.
Right.
You know?
The friend of ours that had everything turned over to electric, she said their bills are totally different. It's nothing like when it was with, now I'm assuming the electric company will probably go up too, but our whole point is, if we're going to have a bill, we're just going to have one.
See, and the thing about it is that I just really, really, I don't like to cook on electric stoves.
Yeah,
I hate cooking on electric. Well, maybe you can get everything but your stove turned on.
That's what we're talking to the guy. He said you can get everything over in electric, but if you want to keep your gas, you can keep the gas stove.
Yeah, that would be the.
I don't particularly care for electric
stoves. I don't think you can cook very well on electric stove.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great thought, and maybe I might think about doing that too because it's crazy.
It's relatively costly because she said it cost them $3,500
to switch everything over.
Yeah, to switch everything over, but when you look at it, what you're paying, have to pay the gas. Oh, and another thing, and I'm going to say this and go, Liz. Guess what now what they're doing? They have down on your paper, if you don't pay your gas bill on time, they now report you to the credit bureau.
You know what? Pay that bill. Pay that bill and switch everything to electric. Because one bill a month, that's just one less bill you have to worry about anyway.
Right.
All right.
Okay, Liz.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning.
Good morning.
when I heard New Orleans say that this is the first time in 10 years that whites have outnumbered blacks.
It's not, oh, it's more like 40 years or something like that. It's, okay. Oh, it's more than that. It's well over 10 years.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought they said in a decade. Maybe they said decade.
Okay.
But what occurred to me, is it fair for us to say that we see Operation Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Rosewood operating in New Orleans and everywhere else, that there is black people with power of any kind, that they bombed out Tulsa, Oklahoma to take Black Wall Street away, they burned down Rosewood in New Orleans, they flooded the city. It just seemed like to me wherever blacks have accumulated power in any form, they are going to find a way to destroy that.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
The history of this country is clear in terms of the gathering of people of African descent. Yes, I mean that yes, it does make sense. I mean, they didn't make the storm, but the people that you're talking about. Well, there you go.
Right, they flooded the city.
Thank you, Pam.
Okay.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. Get up, get to me.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Sheep, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy.
Hey, this is Kelvin Sims of Kelvin's Corner here at WGNU Radio. People are always asking me, where are you? Where have you been? Are you still on the air? The answer to that question is, Mr. Click and I are here each and every Friday at 10 p.m. Tune in and we'll talk about any and everything. As always, I will do my best to be fair. Again, that's Friday nights at 10 p.m. here at WGNU Radio Free St. Louis. And remember to be fair, because life isn't.
Phil Wilson.
And, of course, I'm George Cotton Sr.
Listen to The Real Deal with George and Phil every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. for controversial and thought-provoking radio.
That's right. In addition to national advice on law and health, you can also expect some of the most ridiculous comments heard anywhere on radio.
Yeah, and you say most of them.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple times or two.
The Real Deal with George and Phil. Tune us in every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on WGNU.
The Dimensions Dance Center presents a benefit concert at Wydown School on Saturday at 7 p.m. The center will showcase a wide variety of dance styles with pieces from all five resident companies. Tickets are $5 to $10, and sales will help finance studio programs such as the Scholarship Fund and outreach efforts. To find out more, call 314-997-7837. News to you from WGNU.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll-free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM920-WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton for a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by TomTom. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Bowles. Construction work has two right lanes closed. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer's construction there. Two left lanes are closed. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh. Looks for no problems. Report there. Northbound 270 at 44. Everything is on the move. Westbound 270 at Riverview and Old Hall's Ferry looks good. And all the approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge are on the move at this hour. Also, the approaches to the King Bridge are looking good at this hour. Eastbound Olive between River Valley and Mason is road construction. Right lanes closed. And northbound Route 3 onto the 5570 split. Look for nothing to report at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit
TomTom.com for more details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday, mostly sunny this morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny later on today, the high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, a low in the mid-50s. Saturday, occasional showers and an isolated thunderstorm. Some locally heavy rainfall may be possible. The high should be in the mid-60s. And Sunday's pretty much the same, showers and thunderstorms, with a high in the lower 60s. Currently, we have 55 degrees under clear skies at AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 57 in clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me right here on WGNU, 920 AM, on Friday nights for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Yeah, right.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. That is the number. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you, Barbara?
I'm hanging in there.
All right, now.
I was just wondering, did you already report? I tuned in to you a little late about the Democratic senator from Utah, Wiseman, yesterday, the filibuster for 5 hours for a up or down vote on repealing the government subsidies for gas.
Barbara, I did not.
Yeah, he stood up there and he said, I'm standing for little Americans. He wanted an up or down vote. He stood there and talked for 5 hours on the Senate floor yesterday.
How many more hours is that than the Democratic senator stood up and tried to keep Alito off the bench?
A lot.
Okay. Okay.
But yes, a lot more. And then I think the head of the Democratic Party finally told him. He said, I'll stand here all night until tomorrow. But they finally gave up the floor. And
wait a minute. The head of the Democratic Party told him what?
Well, he didn't think it was going. They weren't going to get the up or down vote, and in other words, discouraging him from keeping the other bill.
Wait a minute.
Shade, I think.
Wait a minute, Barbara. Please.
Yes,
wait a minute. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I haven't caught up to you yet. I'm trying to understand what you're saying. A Democrat was standing on the floor of the House.
Senate.
Oh, the Senate.
Yeah.
Okay. Which Democratic senator was this?
Wiseman of Utah.
There's a Democratic senator out of Utah?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's Utah, but you can check it out.
No, you know what? I'm going to check it out, but it was the Democratic leadership that told him to sit down?
Yeah, well, yeah, he said he thought it was stupid.
Hey, wait a minute. Harry Reid said sit
Reid,
down?
Reid, yeah.
You know what? You know what?
I said, that's pitiful.
That is, oh!
I was saying, go, man, go. Obviously, he stood there and talked and talked. He asked for a break to go get water, and they had to go through all the rules. If he gave up the floor and let one of his other colleagues speak, could he continue? They got the rules mixed up. They finally got that straight, that yes, someone else could speak while he left for a few minutes, and he would get the floor. Because he put his amendment in on this energy bill on Wednesday night, so yesterday it had to come up first. And so when he got up there yesterday morning, he talked from the time they started Senate up until about 11:30 in the morning, talking about the giveaways that the government is giving, the subsidies. Because, see, these prices we're paying at the pump are estimated costs of what it would cost to replace the gas. It's not actually what the gas costs.
You know what? I can't talk to you anymore, Barbara, because I'm just going to cuss.
Yeah,
I am just going to cuss. This
but
is,
if you get a chance, check that out. And
Barbara,
I don't know where the bill is or where it is.
I am on
they
it.
They finally told him it's just going to be useless. Just give up the floor.
No, the Democrats told him to give up the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that some stuff?
Yep.
All right, Barbara, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm, take care.
All right, you too. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
How you doing, Liz?
Yes, who is this?
This is Pepsi.
Okay, Pepsi.
Liz, I'm blind. And the lady had called in. She was talking about her gas,
mm-hmm.
how high it was.
Uh-huh.
And I live in my house, and I live by myself, and like I say, I'm blind. When they was estimating my bill, it came out to be, in February, it was like 2,000 and something. But they had sent a letter out to the whole entire neighborhood that they put in them new meters, which they did. They put a new meter into my place. And after they put the meter in March, they sent another bill out. Instead of being 2,000, they did something to it where it is. It brought it down to 744.
Shut up.
Yeah. And I paid the whole thing in this month.
You paid the 2,000?
Huh?
You paid the 2,000?
No. It was 2,000, but after they put the new meters in, they did something to rewrite it or whatever, and I only had to pay $740-something.
Isn't that something that you're saying, only $740-something?
Yeah, that's all.
I know, but I mean, isn't that awful that $700 is now only?
Well, I paid that.
I understand.
I paid that in full. And this month, my bill was like what, 60-some dollars.
So does that mean they've been stealing from us all these years?
I guess so. Well, they was estimating me because, see, my meter, by me working in things, I didn't have a meter on the outside. And by me staying by myself, it wasn't nobody to let them in.
Well, it seems to me that you have a rebate coming somewhere, doesn't it?
I guess.
I would contact them and ask them to figure out what your rebate is, because if there was that much difference between your bill, you've overpaid somewhere along the line.
Yeah. So, like I say, they put the new meter in.
Okay.
And after the new meter, hey, I'm satisfied with mine.
All right.
And I got an electric stove that I've been cooking on for a long time.
I love gas.
Yeah, I love gas.
All right. Thank you, Pepsi.
Okay, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Boom, pack, boom, pack.
Enter the Phillips 66 Fill Up Your Life giveaway. You could win Honda motorcycles or personal watercrafts, or instantly win free quality Pro Clean gasolines. Visit philupyourlife.com today. Life happens between empty and full.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger, join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. That's right, 2 to 5 every weekday. I look forward to hearing from you. If you have any problems with a personal work or family relationship, give me a call at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU. For the personal issues that matter most, call me, Dr. Laura. Now from 2 to 5, every weekday afternoon. Then, go do the right thing.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920. WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Khartoum. The United Nations says it's going to have to reduce the amount of daily rations it's providing to the Darfur region of Sudan because the money needed has not come in. The head of the World Food Program, James Morris, says the ration will be reduced to about half the minimum amount required each day. About 3 million people need the food help because they have been displaced by civil war for about 3 years now. Across the entire country of Sudan, over 6 million people require food assistance from other nations, and the cost for that is nearly $750 million. Morris says the United States has provided quite a bit, but so far very little has come in from Europe, and nothing at all has come from the Arab League except for Libya. Although there is an official ceasefire and negotiations are ongoing, many parts of the Darfur region are still being plagued by conflict between government forces, independent militias, and rebels, and that is also causing problems in the delivery of food and medicine. And Dateline Beijing. China has made a few moves to try and slow down its red-hot economic development.
The central bank yesterday raised the cost of borrowing money for the first time in 18 months in order to reduce the level of lending and investment capital that's available cheaply. New loans had risen by over 60% during the first quarter of this year alone because of cheap and easy money available in the Chinese economy. Factories have also borrowed money for expansion projects, further fueling that development. This in kind has caused a rise in goods available for exports. Even with the development boom, China still does not have enough capacity to keep up. A lack of port facilities is causing cargo ships to have to wait for at least a month before they can unload. Demand for cement is now greater than the country's capacity to make it. And iron ore is sitting in mountainous piles at ports because there are not enough trains available to ship it to factories. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Big screen televisions, small screen televisions, refrigerators, stoves, they have it all at Sears this weekend. Get your shop on, get your lawnmower, get your tractor. Get it at Sears, 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Place your hand in your heart. Measure the beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how long it takes to protect your child's life. 5 heartbeats. That's how long it takes to learn about the dangers of pesticides that could be found in your child's classroom. Asthma, lower IQ scores, and cancer have all been linked to prolonged exposure to these toxins. But if you knew there were toxin-free alternatives to pesticides, if you knew you had a voice regarding their use, if you knew you could take action that would make your child's classroom safe today, wouldn't you do something? In a heartbeat. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare of Missouri and the Ad Council.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to ask my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind of people claiming. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I just got mine. It's my way. Oh, don't you come on, mention this my way.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious. Do we have a lot of stuff to talk about? Oof. It is amazing to me. I just have to say it. It's just amazing to me. And sometimes I struggle with trying to put it into words because I struggle to put it into words because it's just sometimes it's mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling, the obsession with wrongdoing that this administration has. They have an obsession with wrongdoing. It is almost as if, let me find all of the laws that are out there, and I will begin the process of breaking each one of them. And even the laws that are not written down, what are the moral principles? I am going to be in direct contradiction to every moral principle that is out there. There's a story coming out of Brussels. Investigators for the European Parliament said, I think it was early this week, that data that was collected from air safety regulators, and they looked at other information, they talked to other people, they got other reports, they conducted a study, and they got all the information together, and what they concluded was that the Central Intelligence Agency, that would be the CIA folks, had flown 1,000 flights over European territory since George W. Bush took office, a year after George W. Bush stole himself into office. 1,000 flights. Sometimes the plane stopped to pick up some terrorism suspects. And these are suspects that had been kidnapped. So folks were kidnapped. CIA picked them up and took them to countries that used torture. 1,000 times. And here's the other piece of it. Italy, Sweden, Bosnia were aware of the abductions, were aware of the transfers, and are just as, I mean, you're complicit. You're in there with them. You're acting with another. There's a quote that came out of the European Parliament. And they said that the European Parliament deplores the fact that the CIA has on several occasions clearly been responsible for kidnapping and illegally detaining alleged terrorists on the territory of member states, as well as for extraordinary renditions to third countries. This is the first of several reports. 1,000. 1,000. Our papers reported 300. This report is saying, no, it's well beyond 300. It's 1,000. The CIA, of course, declined to comment. An obsession with lawlessness. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call, Looking Black.
is next hour. Joining us is John X. Miller with the Detroit Free Press. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot, was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, City St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Is the only hope for the high price of gas divine intervention? A Washington area town says it can't hurt. Bishop Miles Spires also happens to be the mayor of Forest Heights, Maryland.
We're hoping that the hearts of the legislators would be turned by this type of action, and the only one we know that can do it is God.
In California, they're going to the courts.
State Attorney General Bill Lockyer is set to subpoena the records of California's 21 oil refineries and 6 major oil companies. Part of his investigation into the rising cost of gas.
ABC's Micah Ullman. As for President Bush, he thinks the big three automakers might be able to help by making vehicles more economical. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky is with the president in New Orleans.
After his visit to the hurricane zone, President Bush stopped by a gas station in Mississippi where he said Congress should grant him authority to change fuel standards for passenger cars.
Authority is going to be used for light trucks. It's going to be used for light trucks.
It's not the first time Mr. Bush has asked, but even if Congress agrees, it would be at least 18 months before any changes. Automakers and many in the president's own party have resisted them, but now gas prices are a campaign issue. Aaron Kuchersky, ABC News, New Orleans.
The president says New Orleans and the rest of the Gulf and Atlantic coasts will be ready for the upcoming hurricane season. It's about a month away. He's promised that the New Orleans levee system, which was heavily damaged by Hurricane Katrina, will be rebuilt by June. The woman who accused 3 members of the Duke University lacrosse team of raping her apparently made a similar claim in another North Carolina county 10 years ago.
It doesn't look good for her side, but it also doesn't necessarily bring her allegations into question. There's no question that defense attorneys are going to try to use this in court and cite this as a prior instance of her making allegations. They really are strikingly similar, raped and beaten by 3 men.
That's ABC News legal correspondent Laura Satrakian. This is ABC News.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com. Sign up today, and your first month is free.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
So much for the wild child. Prince Harry is reminding a lot of people of his late mother, Princess Diana.
Prince Harry back on familiar territory, greeting the kids he met last year, and the prince sees a future filled with helping the orphans for a long time to come.
As far as I'm concerned, committed for the rest of my life.
Although in the army now, Harry says he's confident he can successfully juggle that and his charity.
I'm concerned, I'll be here, come and do visits as much as I can, to come and see my good friends, say so, to come and see other kids. And it would be weird not to come back.
Estimates put the HIV/AIDS rate at around 30% of the Lesotho population. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
The head of Oregon's Liquor Control Commission is looking for a new job. Teresa Kaiser had a head-on collision. Police say she was drunk at the time. Trooper Tom Worthy.
Actually, a gross difference. If you think about it, you know, let's say a person could achieve an 08 after three or four beers, you know, logic would tell us that they would need twice the amount to achieve the 1.6.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, arson is not being ruled out in a four-alarm fire at a condominium complex under construction in South St. Louis. The fire broke out around 4 o'clock yesterday morning at the Compton Gates condominiums at Flat and South Grand. No injuries are reported from the fire, but damage is estimated in the millions of dollars, and the heat from the fire was so intense that it melted the glass on nearby streetlights. Investigators are still looking for the cause. Nearly 200 fugitives in the St. Louis area are in custody as part of Operation Falcon 2. Ron Henderson, the U.S. Marshal for the Eastern District of Missouri, says this operation has made the streets of St. Louis a little safer.
History tells us that some, not all, if they're left out there undetected, then they further victimize other people. And some of these people are children. So you don't know the full effect, but we know that having them off the street, we think, is better than them being out there.
Of the 194 arrested in eastern Missouri, 69 were wanted for violent sexual offenses, 5 on kidnapping charges, 34 on narcotics charges, and 24 on assault charges. In addition, more than 290 warrants were cleared over the course of the 7-day operation. The U.S. Marshals Service says more than 10,000 violent fugitives across the U.S. were taken into custody. Missouri Senator Jim Talent is trying to ease the burden of high gas prices. Talent has announced legislation that would provide all taxpayers with a $100 gas tax holiday rebate check. Talent says this money will create some much-needed relief for Americans paying high prices at the pump. In addition to the rebate, the legislation also calls for repealing tax incentives for oil companies while expanding tax incentives to promote the use of hybrid vehicles, expanding domestic supply in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and encouraging the construction of new refineries and the expansion of existing ones. Finally this hour, proponents of St. Peter's Lakeside 370 project say the development will be great for the region. Officials announced yesterday that the city of St. Peter's has entered into a nearly $50 million sale agreement with Duke Realty, Gundaker Commercial Group, and Kaplan Development for the 1,600 acres of land. Duke Realty Senior Vice President Jerry Krylan says this will be a mixed-use industrial and commercial project. Voters approved the development in 2000, but the Great Rivers Habitat Alliance has tried to stop it, claiming the plan would eliminate hunting grounds and wipe out a much-needed natural floodplain. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Money's tight these days. Good thing you can get one of four tasty extra value meals like a Big Mac sandwich, medium fries, and medium drink for under $4 every day. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We're looking at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 55 and 141 in Lindbergh, no problems to report. Northbound 270 slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 40 between Chesterfield Airport and Boone's Crossing. Look for normal traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 70 or to Mid Rivers. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound 270 at Riverview and Old Halls Ferry. Look for traffic flowing freely. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as westbound 64 to 5570 split. And westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Look for traffic to be built. Building there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect slow traffic this hour. Northbound 111 over on the Illinois side at 270. Look for road construction reduced to one lane. And there's various other road construction projects going on, so slow down in those construction zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games. Monopoly, poker, Lucky Dough, and Bingo, all from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny this morning. Partly sunny by the afternoon with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy. A 50% chance of showers, low in the mid-50s. Saturday, occasional showers, possible isolated thunderstorms, some locally heavy rainfall could be possible. The high should be in the mid-60s. And for Sunday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brothers, talk to your sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brothers, talk to your sisters. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. You take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound that you propose at the low base.
Edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, welcome. My name is Liz Brown, and this is the time of the week that we take a look back at the news stories that have come out, the issues that have come out, the tales that have been told. From a perspective, from an African perspective, our guest this morning is John X. Miller, public editor, Detroit Free Press, joining us from Detroit. John, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I am very well, very well.
Very good. So, what's on your mind this morning, John? What caught your eye? What got your attention? What do you want to tell us?
Well, here in Detroit, there are so many things happening, and unfortunately, all of it is not good.
Mm.
Just overnight, we had an off-duty police officer murdered in a carjacking. And that kind of coincides with a rising homicide rate in Detroit. You know, within the last 2 weeks, we had a high-profile murder in a club by a rapper by the name of Proof. I don't know if you've heard about this or...
Sure. Proof was the best man at Eminem's wedding.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's caused a lot of consternation in the community because he was very well known, as you know, and the person that he murdered was a veteran who was just buried yesterday.
And he shot him in the head, and then there's another person that came. There are three people involved in this.
That's exactly right. There are three people involved. Unfortunately, let me kind of back up a bit and explain what happened. It was an argument over a pool game in a after-hours club, and apparently Proof shot a guy by the name of Keith Bender, shot him three times, and then he was shot by a bouncer who was also a person in the club who was a cousin of Bender and who killed Proof. And now the person who shot him is in court and has been charged with some gun violations.
Well, gun violations because he was not supposed to have a gun because he was on probation or something like that.
That's right.
So do we know anything about what kind of, if there are any other charges, if there's going to be a manslaughter charge or a second-degree murder charge, what's the prosecutor saying about that?
Well, he was arraigned a couple of days ago, and right now they're just gun charges. There haven't been any manslaughter charges presented yet, but that probably might happen in a preliminary hearing. At this point, they're still doing some investigation.
Because, quite frankly, it really sounds like Proof was shot after he shot somebody else.
That's exactly right. And people who were witnesses at the club said that was how things played out. So it appears that the person who shot Proof after he had shot Bender...
And killed him. And some, because Bender died later. He didn't die on the scene.
No, he died about a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, his funeral was just yesterday, and at both funerals, at Proof's funeral and at the funeral of Bender, there were lots of people calling for people in Detroit to reconsider this kind of random gun violence because it's taking the lives of people, and it's a total waste. And that's one of the things that I believe Obie Trice, who spoke at Proof's funeral, said. He said, "We're doing this for nothing, absolutely nothing." And then last night we have an off-duty police officer shot, I think, multiple times by multiple people in a carjacking. They haven't, and it just happened overnight, so there's not a lot of details on it, but they do know that he was shot multiple times and by multiple people, and it might also have been a pattern of some things that had happened last night. They don't believe it was an isolated potential carjacking. So the city of Detroit has on its radar screen now an upsurge in this kind of violence, and I think the community is not going to stand for it as it begins to formulate some kind of community-wide movement and some effort to get this problem looked at and solved.
There was also a story that came out of New York, out of Detroit, about a little boy that made a 911 call. Can you talk to us about that?
That happened about 3 weeks ago. Little boy, six-year-old Robert Turner, I believe was his name, he called 911 because his mom had passed out.
He's 6 years old.
He was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he was actually, I believe, five at the time, but he turned six subsequently. And he called 911 and said his mom was ill, was down on the floor. And he called twice. He called once and was told to quit playing on the phone by the operator, by the 911 operator, and then called about 2 hours later.
2 hours
That's
later?
Right. 2 hours later.
Oh.
And the operator again chastised him for being on the phone and for playing on the phone. And finally, not an ambulance showed up, but a police car showed up, and they found that the woman had indeed died. And her son had been there for no telling how long, with his dead mother right beside him. But that's part of a pattern as well. Within the last year, that has happened at least twice, where people have called in distress, and the 911 operators essentially have dismissed their calls as being prank calls. There was one instance where a woman had actually been shot in the head by her, I believe by her estranged husband, but she was still able to call. And essentially, the operator ridiculed her. The operator asked her if she was a mental patient and asked her, what are you doing? If you're on the phone talking to me and you've just been shot in the head, it must be some kind of a miracle. So subsequently...
Well, who is the company that does this? Is there an investigation going on into this? Have people been reprimanded or fired for this?
Well, I will say this. Investigations are ongoing. This has not been subcontracted, and in some cases, in some cities, these operators are indeed employed by the city of Detroit. They have 23 operators handling emergency calls and 20 operators handling non-emergency calls, and they get about 2 million calls a year, and according to what's been revealed so far, about 25% of those calls are crank calls. But what the investigation, which is ongoing, has not revealed yet is how systemically these operators and the city deals with these kinds of urgent calls. Because the city has been sued several times over the last 10 to 12 years by people who had called the 911 system. The system had not responded. They had ended up either dead or paralyzed or some way injured. So the city has had this problem for a long time.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Well, and the thing is,
I'm just thinking about that baby lying in the house with his mother.
That is the picture that lots of folks have in their head, because
that he did the right thing. He should have been celebrated for that. Oh my God! And how is he going to deal with that for the rest of his life?
No telling how he's going to deal with that trauma. The other thing about that is that the young boy was very, very articulate. The tapes and the transcripts have been released. He was very articulate, very calm, and was very specific as to what the problem was. And the operator did not respond twice. Not once, but twice.
Was it the same operator?
No, it was not the same operator.
Oh, for Christ. It was two different operators?
Two different operators, and again, 2 hours apart. So, again, this investigation is ongoing. Nobody has been fired yet. I believe the operators have been reprimanded, but they have not been fired. And I think that one of the things that's ongoing is not only an investigation by the ombudsman in the city of Detroit, there's also media. We're also doing some investigations. I know that one of the local TV stations is doing an investigation that is supposed to air sometime this week, and I know that other newspapers in the community are also doing the same.
And, John, what question raises in my mind as I'm hearing this, with two different operators, 2 hours apart, responding to a six-year-old voice in the same way, that sounds like a systemic problem.
It is a systemic problem. And dating back to about 1989, the city of Detroit has been sued because of its 911 system frequently, because it has been unresponsive. And when it has responded, it's either responded too late, and the people who were calling have suffered injuries or illness or death that could have been avoided if they had responded much sooner. So it is a systemic problem.
And you know what? It sounds like, honestly, it sounds like training. That if two different people responded exactly the same way to a child's voice, that almost sounds like you've been given a directive of how you respond to a kid's voice.
I believe that that's what we're going to find out, a lack of training. And I think what we have discovered in other investigations about some aspects of the great law enforcement community is that there has been a systemic lack of training in several areas, including, for instance, the Detroit Police Department is under a federal dissent decree for a number of areas, and one of those areas is a lack of non-lethal training for police officers. So I think systemically the system has a problem of not training people properly to handle certain situations.
Oh, and so what's the, do we know anything about what happened to the little boy or anything?
The little boy is being represented by an attorney by the name of Jeffrey Figer. You probably have heard of him.
Sure.
Figer.
He ran for something too, didn't he?
Yes, he ran for governor, right. I guess maybe about, I believe in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also the attorney for Dr. Kevorkian.
That's right.
So Figer is representing the little boy. He's already filed a lawsuit on his behalf, but he's also filed lawsuits against the city of Detroit on behalf of two other people who've been victims of the 911 system.
And the awful thing, John, is that I suspect that the lawsuit will be won, or there will be a settlement. And is this something that the city of Detroit can afford?
No. The city of Detroit is in a budget deficit and is in not as dire straits as it was last year, but it's still expected to run a deficit of about $100 million in fiscal year 2006. And the other issue is, even if the suit is settled or if they actually go to court, what is going to be the response of the city to the lawsuit? Will they indeed institute training? Will they indeed
clean house?
That's right. Will they indeed do some things to change the pattern of what's happened over the last several years?
Because those are just self-inflicted wounds.
Unfortunately, it is something that we hear too frequently here in Detroit, because we think, at least some of us think, that we are inflicting wounds upon ourselves, that if we just systemically examine and fix some of our own problems, we wouldn't have these problems to deal with.
So how did the Super Bowl work out for y'all?
Well, to tell you the truth, we got an A-plus on the Super Bowl.
A-plus okay, what are we grading now?
Okay, what we're grading is, firstly, what was most concerning to Metro Detroit, not only to Detroit proper, but Metro Detroit, was the image of the city being propagated around the world. And there have been several studies done subsequently that says the images that came out of Detroit, that whole week-long, or actually two-week-long run-up to the Super Bowl, was very, very, very positive for the city of Detroit. The tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands of people who came to the city were very well pleased at everything from our friendliness to our city services to the fact that the weather was pretty mild during that time period. I mean, here we are in February, and we really didn't get any snow, and on some days it was mild. So in terms of what the images that the world saw of the city of Detroit, it was an A+. It was a positive all around. Now, what we're dealing with now in the aftermath of that in the community is what's next for us. There was unparalleled cooperation, unparalleled cleanliness, unparalleled dialogue about what we can do to propagate this image around the world of Detroit. But now our community is sitting back and saying, okay, what do we do next for our own self? What do we do next to make sure that this, in the afterglow of what happened in the Super Bowl, we can continue to make progress in some very critical areas in our city and in our community? And I think that there are some initiatives being started and other initiatives that are gaining some speed that will say to people, here are some other volunteer organizations that you can put your time and effort in. And I think that's some of the things that are going to be happening in the future. And there are people working to make sure that momentum doesn't dissipate.
And in terms of the financial component, how did you do financially?
I think, and here is one of the rubs, because Pittsburgh was in the Super Bowl. So when Super Bowls happen, there is an influx of people from around the country who come in and spend lots of money because they have to fly into the city, they have to rent hotel rooms, and that kind of scenario. But because Pittsburgh was pretty close, lots of people just drove here. Lots of people, you know, one of the things that they didn't anticipate, for instance, is that we had to find additional parking lots for RVs and buses. Okay, so lots of people came into the city by car and by bus, and even by RV. So the economic impact wasn't as dramatic as previously anticipated, but by,
because there's no way of knowing who was going to be in the Super Bowl by the time that you got the before you got the
right.
Yeah,
so we think in the economy the figures that I've seen, between $50 to $75 million of new money was brought into the city, but the other thing that is again a part of that afterglow is that there's still a surge of development in the downtown area with condos, with some new businesses, with community efforts to keep certain parts of the city clean, and to make sure that effort, that money that was brought into the city, is recycled in the community.
And I have read some stories, though, too, John, that because, I mean, every city has to deal with this issue. In order to put on a pretty face, sometimes of the people that don't make the face pretty from the perspective of some have to be pushed someplace else, that there was a homelessness issue and that some of the homeless people were taken off the streets and taken into houses or organizations. They were fed and kept off the street just long enough for the pictures to be taken. Is that accurate, and is that going to be dealt with?
Actually, that's accurate, but it's already, it has been dealt with before and is being dealt with afterward.
Mm-hmm.
There are several community organizations that, one including a group called Focus Hope, that has been around for at least a couple of generations, been around for 35, 40 years, and they have been dealing with the homeless problems continually. So when the Super Bowl came along, they stepped up. They and other organizations opened additional shelters. They did some other things to take people off the street, but that didn't end there. They're still doing the same kind of efforts. So from what I've seen, and from what reported in various media, the homeless issue, at least in downtown Detroit, has not returned. It hasn't snapped back to the level that it was because the facilities that were open are still in place.
Did they get additional funding? How was that possible?
I think some of the funding came from the Super Bowl committee, for one.
Okay.
But I also think some additional funding was given to them by the city and even by some volunteer agencies that during the run-up to the Super Bowl, they said, look, we know this is a systemic problem, so let's fix it as a systemic problem. Let's deal with it as a systemic problem, not just cosmetically because of the Super Bowl. For instance, one of the things that there's another group in our organization, I mean, another group in our community called Forgotten Harvest. It's a national organization that gets food from restaurants and other businesses and takes that food and puts it in on the plates and before people who need food immediately. So they'll pick up food this morning and it will be used for lunch and dinner today. That organization got a big influx of money, and that organization is also kind of propagated in ways that it hadn't before, and it's maintaining, at least at this point, it's maintaining that same level of service that the Super Bowl allowed for them to elevate to. So things haven't returned to pre-Super Bowl levels, and I think that's a testament to the city and a testament to the volunteer spirit in the city of Detroit.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to John X. Miller, public editor of the Detroit Free Press. He's joining us from Detroit. This is Liz Brown and Lookin' Black. Stay with us.
Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate's is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate's Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Friday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call, an in-depth look at the universal health care program recently passed in Massachusetts. Universal coverage for all is a great concept, but this measure leaves much to be desired. Financially strapped families still have to buy at least the worst health insurance on the market, or they get a tax penalty. Plus, the costs to administer this program could be better utilized in providing real health care relief to the poor. You won't want to miss this health care discussion with Dr. Alan Sager of Boston University and Benjamin Day, Executive Director of MassCare, on the award-winning Wake Up Call, Friday morning at 8.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Missouri's Air Traffic Controllers. Eastbound 370 at Elm, look for an accident involving a motorcycle. The right lane is partially blocked. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer's Road Construction, left lane is closed and traffic slows through Kings Highway. Northbound 55 between 141 and 67, look for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 at Gravois all the way into 44, it is slow this hour. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and Mid Rivers, look for slight delays. Westbound 270 from North Florissant all the way into 170, expect some slow traffic there. Westbound 70 at McKelvey, there's an accident. The left lane is blocked, and all the approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge and the King Bridges are starting to stack up at this hour. Skinker at Clayton, there's also a report of an accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Missouri's Air Traffic Controllers. The FAA is imposing a contract on Missouri's air traffic controllers. One in four could retire. Call Senator Talon at 1-877-FAIR-FAA. Tell him to stop this risky plan. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny today. The high in the mid-70s this evening, mostly cloudy. A 50% chance of showers. Saturday and Sunday, look for showers and thunderstorms. Both days, you see a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have 55 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Looking Black is up next following these messages right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Turn used gardening plastic into botanical garden admission. Recycle plastic pots and other garden castaways on weekends starting May 20th from 9 to 4 at the Monsanto Center of the Garden. You'll receive a complimentary admission pass for your donation. To find out more, call 314-577-9440 or visit mobot.org. News to you from WGNU.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The wake-up call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The wake-up call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call. Liz Brown.
Liz Brown.
Looking Black, The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, and Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this morning is John X. Miller, public editor of the Detroit Free Press. He's joining us from Detroit. John, I want to talk about our, well, no, let me let, give me some more of the stuff that you want to talk about, then I want to try to catch up with one particular issue about newspaper diversity.
Okay. Well, one thing that's on the horizon that actually begins today is Freedom Weekend in Detroit.
Hmm.
It's the annual NAACP weekend here in Detroit, where we have on Sunday the world's largest sit-down dinner at Cobo Hall. Expect a crowd of about 10,000 people at that dinner. And there's a weekend full of meetings and discussions about things that will affect people of color, particularly black people in our community here. And it begins today, actually, with a town hall meeting with the governor and the presumptive GOP nominee for governor, a billionaire by the name of Dick DuVos. He's the owner of Amway, or it's no longer called Amway. It goes by another name now. But the whole idea is that we are coming together for a weekend of discussion and planning in order to talk about solutions that will help fix problems in our community.
And John, what can we point to in terms of things that have come out of Freedom? It's called Freedom Week?
Freedom Weekend.
Yeah,
it's sponsored by the local NAACP here in Detroit, which is the largest chapter in the country.
So what are some of the things that Freedom Weekend can take credit for as a result of its occurrence?
Well, one of the things I think it can take credit for is that it has, over the last 5 years, galvanized the economic engine in the hip-hop and rap community. It has brought people to town such as Dr. Dre and other notables in the hip-hop industry, not to talk about the making of music, but about the making of dollars and cents that are then put back into our community, and to come up with business planning, to come up with scenario planning in terms of how to take the messages of hip-hop strictly from some of the negative messages and turning it into a positive force in our community. So I think that's one thing, and that's one thing I was, importantly, that Proof and Eminem were involved in here in the community. It was not only about making music, but it was also about making the community mindful of its responsibility that once people reach this certain stature, that they have to give something back to the community.
Okay, and what other kinds of things?
There are job expos. Mm-hmm. There are thousands of people who come down to interview for jobs, to do everything from how to compile a resume to how to search for jobs on the web. There are always town hall meetings where there are discussions with people from Senator Barack Obama, who was here last year and who was the keynote speaker, to the Reverend Jesse Jackson, to other people who come to town to have discussions within our community about empowerment. And it's only been going on for the last 5 years.
Okay.
It's the fifth conference.
Gotcha.
But in terms of galvanizing people around the idea of empowerment, it has gone a long way to getting people in Detroit to understand that, yes, the NAACP still exists. Its membership is not what it used to be, but it is still an important, viable organization that, if you get involved, will indeed give you strategies that will empower you individually and empower the community.
See, we have an NAACP here in the city of St. Louis that held a press conference to get a bigot their job back. Did you hear about the case where the talk show host called Condoleezza Rice a coon?
I have not.
Okay, well, he called Condoleezza Rice a coon, and he said it was a mistake. He apologized for it on the air, and the radio station fired him. Our NAACP took it as their cause because I guess he and his wife paid a lifetime membership to the NAACP. They held a press conference in an attempt to get his job back.
Mm-hmm.
So our NAACP rolls a little differently here in the city of St. Louis.
It sounds sounds like mixed messages.
Yeah, it really does. So in terms of the political component of Freedom Weekend, with governors coming down, want to be governors coming down, how does that work? Are people given a free form? Are people challenged on different issues, or how does that work?
Well,
and the fact that the NAACP is supposed to be nonpartisan.
Well, it's billed as a town hall meeting,
so I see.
It's not actually going to be a debate.
Okay.
The governor is going to speak about some initiatives that she has underway, and also to talk about some things that she's done over the last 3.5 years. And Dick DeVos, who is the challenger, is going to do not talk necessarily about what he's done governmentally, but talk about his vision of what the state of Michigan ought to be under his watch, talk about how he's run his business, talk about revitalization of core urban areas, and also to talk about how you run government similar to running a business. So it's not actually going to be a debate because, again, it's supposed to be NAACP nonpartisan. But what it's actually going to be is just kind of a forum for people to hear, and I believe there's going to be a Q&A afterwards, but a forum for people to hear both sides from the governor and from the challenger, and then to ask questions in a public forum.
And what kind of presence do they expect to people to make?
I believe it's going to be standing room only. It is going to be at the Cobo Conference Center, so that means lots of people will be able to get into it, at least get in to see it and to view it and to listen to it. And additionally, because there are going to be other Freedom Weekend events happening around it, my experience has been that this is a huge weekend for not only the NAACP, but for people who are interested in dialogue, people who are interested in not only talking about our problems, but also talking about our solutions that are embedded in those problems.
And in terms of, do you have, I know that you have Greek Town, African Town, is that completed or?
No, that is, my recollection is that is still kind of being held in abeyance because there have not been any specific dollars allocated to it because of the budget constraints in the city.
Maybe that should be one of the topics at Freedom Weekend, the creation of I mean, we're talking about bringing dollars back to our community, African, you know.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I do believe the person who came up with the idea and brought it before council has been back to Detroit several times trying to get a forum other than the city council to talk about it, and he's been able to do some of that. But I think probably that the main impediment has been the fact that dollars and cents-wise, the city council that was going to put some dollars behind it because of our budget constraints hasn't been able to do that.
And we're going to take a break talking to John X. Miller, public editor, Detroit Free Press, joining us from Detroit. I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to ConnectCare.
Suzanne Cash for the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
Johnny Cash was my dad. For years he had diabetes but ignored it, even as his vision and health slipped away. Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, even take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better too. To learn more, visit healthywithdiabetes.org.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy.
Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline New York. A lawsuit has been filed against the Defense Department claiming it is violating the privacy of millions of high school students. The New York Civil Liberties Union filed suit on behalf of six high school students based on the premise that the Defense Department is ignoring the privacy aspects stipulated by Congress when it comes to collecting and distributing the personal information of millions of high school students across the country. Last year, the Pentagon said it had acquired a database of high schoolers and college students, which includes personal information such as social security numbers, gender, and race. The high school students go down to age 16, but that violates a 1982 law that says recruitment cannot include information on any student under the age of 17. Plus, it must be kept for no longer than 3 years and be kept private. Currently, the information is kept for 5 years and is also being exchanged with law enforcement and other government agencies. And Dateline Mexico City. The Internet is helping to lay the groundwork for a boycott of American businesses in Mexico that is to take place on Monday. The rationale for the boycott is to show solidarity with immigrant rights protests that are to take place in a number of cities in the U.S. on Monday. Many residents of Mexico are watching the American debate on immigration because many family members are caught up in the debate. The Chamber of Commerce of Ciudad Juarez says that its 5,000 members will not be buying or selling any American products on Monday, and there is also talk that a community group will be blocking the bridges across the border at that location as well. The slogan for the campaign is being called Nothing Gringo on Monday. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Here's an opportunity for you. I'm always trying to plan your life. Saturday, May 6th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., the People's Lawyer, Chokwe Lumumba, will speak on injustice in America from the courtroom to Katrina at the Muhammad Academy, 3526 Garrison at Natural Bridge. That's May the 6th from 4 to 9 p.m. Special guest speaker will also be Dr. Imare Obadeli. This is a timely event sponsored by the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa. The cost is $25 and it includes dinner. Tickets are available at Ujamaa Bookstore and the same price at the door. For more information, call 839-0422, 839-0422, or email album@pgrnafreetheland.com. That is May 6th from 4 to 9. Mark it on your calendar.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Sears, Sears, Sears. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, TVs, lawnmowers. They got it all at great prices and great locations. The only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. Don't take the time. Don't take the money. Don't do it. Don't go to the mall. Go to Sears in your neighborhood. 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Friday morning at 8 on the Wake Up Call, an in-depth look at the universal health care program recently passed in Massachusetts. Universal coverage for all is a great concept, but this measure leaves much to be desired. Financially strapped families still have to buy at least the worst health insurance on the market, or they get a tax penalty. Plus, the costs to administer this program could be better utilized in providing real health care relief to the poor. You won't want to miss this health care discussion with Dr. Alan Sager of Boston University and Benjamin Day, Executive Director of MassCare, on the award-winning Wake Up Call, Friday morning at 8.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Frank.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown, and my guest journalist this morning is John X. Miller, public editor of the Detroit Free Press, joining us from Detroit. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
Talk to us about it. It's no surprise, I guess, but there's an issue about newspaper diversity numbers going down, going up.
Actually, they're pretty much flat. Mm-hmm. Newspaper diversity numbers, they were released this week by the American Society of Newspaper Editors, and they do an annual survey of newsrooms, looking at diversity across the board and looking at how many people are coming into our newsrooms and how many people are leaving our newsrooms. And essentially, the gain over last year was about 600 people, which percentage-wise, it's about half, about one-half of 1%. So it's essentially flat. And in an economy where jobs are leaving the newsroom because of cutbacks, because of newspaper companies being bought and sold, because of other circumstances in newspaper companies where the price of newsprint is going up or the price of now gasoline is going up, so that's going to have an impact on the bottom line. It's important to note that it is flat because under these circumstances, flat might mean that it's actually going backward. And in lots of cases, there are newsrooms in America that do not have people of color at all, meaning they've got all-white newsrooms.
And break it down for us a little bit, John. When we say an all-white newsroom, what does that mean? Who are the people we're talking about? What are the positions?
I think most of the newspapers you're talking about are in communities that are not as diverse as some of our urban areas. In America, there are about 1,400 new daily newspapers, and about 45% of those newspapers, 50% of those newspapers have diverse newsrooms in some form or fashion. And some newsrooms, the communities aren't diverse because the communities aren't diverse. But that doesn't mean that those newsrooms and those newspapers aren't covering issues of concern for people of color, because they still have to report things that are happening around the world, around their state, around the United States. And if you don't have people of color in your newsrooms reporting on issues that are germane to people of color, then those issues and those stories are going to be miscast. They're going to be inaccurate. They might not even appear in the newspapers at all.
And we're talking about whether we're talking about reporters, if we're talking about copy editors, we're talking about photographers, well, we're talking about editors as well. These are all the people that come together to decide what is going to be in front of on the paper that you read that morning or that evening.
Indeed. It's simply not reporters. As you say, it's copy editors, it's photographers, it's page designers, it's editors who edit the copy, assignment editors. It's people who have their hands and their eyes and their perspective injected into the news gathering and the news production process.
And when we have a story like a Natalie Holloway, or we have a story at the La Crosse a rape case, it matters that you have people of color in the newsrooms, doesn't it?
It matters tremendously, because if you don't have that perspective, if you don't have that worldview at the table when the discussions are going on, then what I have found and what I have seen is that stereotypical views are going to rise to the top if they're not challenged. So if you have a newsroom in a community, I mean, and I'm not saying this is the case in Durham, North Carolina, But what I'm saying is that in the case of a community that is polarized over an issue, and you have a newspaper that is circulated to the majority of the community, and oftentimes newspaper stories are fodder for a broadcast, whether it's radio or whether
it's television. Oh, it's rip and read. I mean,
That's exactly right.
You know.
So if the newspaper is racist in some way or stereotypical in some way, then that's going to be propagated knowingly or unknowingly by people who read the paper and then who use that paper as a basis to form other news opinions and news stories. So it is vitally important that there's diversity across the board in newspapers, because that lack of diversity is going to affect the coverage, whether people recognize that or not, at its face.
And what are the responses of the newspapers? We have the report came out. What do the newspapers say? And we have a minute and a half.
Okay. Well, primarily the newspapers are saying, woe is us. We've been working on this for years and years and years. The goal was by the year 2000 that newsrooms would have parity with the U.S. demographic. When we didn't reach that, the goal has now been pushed to 2025.
Lord.
That's right. So I think the problem is we have to attack it in a much different way. If the solutions of the past have not worked, then those of us who are in the newspaper industry, those of us who are editors, those of us who are the corporate executives, need to come up with a different strategy to fix the problem. And one way I think the problem can be fixed is looking at the pipeline. It's making sure that the pipeline is robust enough to make sure that people of color are in the pipeline in a very big way, so by the time they get to the newsroom, that there are jobs in those newsrooms for those people. Additionally, I want to make sure that the people who are in the newsroom are retained, that we don't get pushed out or overlooked in those newsrooms.
John X. Miller, public editor for the Detroit Free Press. Thank you so much for joining us on Looking Black.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, the wake-up call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below the low knee.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Atlantic City's influence.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The price of gas is literally bringing some people to their knees. Clergy members in Washington gathered at a service station to pray for lower prices.
If this goes to $4.50, $5 a gallon like they're telling me it is, it's going to be oppression to many families. It's groceries from the poor.
President Bush meets with representatives of the big three automakers asking for tighter fuel economy standards so vehicles use less gas. Congress mulling a few ideas. And in New Jersey, a longstanding tradition of no self-serve pumps could be about to change.
To property taxes and health care, I don't think there is an issue that burdens the New Jersey public more than the cost of energy.
Governor John Corzine, big profits for another oil company, Chevron, made $4 billion in last year's third quarter. It's back to work for the jury in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. More from ABC's Luis Schiavone in Washington.
It was a rare day off yesterday in the sentencing trial of self-avowed Al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. The judge excused the whole jury for a day after one person called in sick. That juror is better today and deliberations resume. The panel of 9 men and 3 women has invested 16 hours so far in considering whether Moussaoui should get life or capital punishment for the role he played in the successful execution of the 9/11 attacks. Luis Schiavone, ABC News, Washington.
It's a national anthem as you've never heard it.
Beginning today, this will air on Spanish radio stations across the country. It's the bilingual version of the Star Spangled Banner. It angers a great-great-grandson of the anthem's author. Charles Key finds the Spanish version unpatriotic.
I think it's a despicable thing that somebody would go into our society from another country and change our national anthem.
Producers of the Spanish version say they hope it will demonstrate Latino patriotism. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'll be relaxing on a new low-maintenance composite deck this summer. Number three, normal decks require upkeep. I am not an upkeep kind of guy. Number two, the destructive forces of sun and moisture. Powerless. And number one, I'll not only save my skin from splinters, I'll save money, too.
Get 10% off all in-store and special order Veranda, Trex, and Eon decking and fencing only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through May 7th at U.S. only. Maximum discount is $1,000. See store for details.
Now you can tell your feet to stay right in your seat. A server's gonna break into your car. And you can tell your tongue it's gonna have some fun. Cause Applebee's is ready when you are. Cars, how's it go? Cars, how's it go? In case you didn't understand. You call up Applebee's, you order what you please. And dinner's going home in your sedan.
At participating locations.
They are not going to land this plane.
The movie United 93 opens nationwide today. It tells the story of the ill-fated flight, one of the four planes that crashed on 9/11. On this plane, the passengers tried to take control of the jet from Islamic hijackers who reportedly wanted to fly it into the Capitol building. Some say it's still too soon for the movie, though. The name is innocent enough, but the effects of cheese can be deadly. ABC's Jim Ryan has more on a dangerous drug showing up in some schools.
Parents of middle and high school students need to know what to look for, the signs that their kids might be using so-called cheese or any illegal drug. For one thing, says drug counselor Michelle Hem, mood changes are obvious in users.
The heroin high is the euphoric, very little worries, concerns while you're on it. I think that probably what the Tylenol PM and the Benadryl do is enhance the sleepiness.
Short-term effects may include tiredness, hunger, slurred speech. Prolonged use can be fatal.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, St. Louis fire officials are investigating a small fire at Busch Stadium. The trash fire broke out during last night's game in the part of the stadium that is still under construction. Joe Abernathy, the Cardinals' vice president of stadium operations, says the St. Louis Fire Department is on site for every game just in case, and they responded quickly last night.
It was a small fire contained in one box that was quickly extinguished without any property damage or any injuries. There was no threat to anybody.
Abernathy says the area of the fire was unoccupied but was not completely secured as it should have been. On the field, the Cardinals weren't too distracted by the fire. They defeated the Washington Nationals last night 6-2, winning their fourth straight game. Thousands of fugitives are in custody after a nationwide sweep that began in southern Illinois. The first arrest nationwide in Operation Falcon 2 was that of Reginald Dozier in Belleville on April 17th. Operation Falcon 2 netted more than 10,000 fugitives, including 151 in the Southern District of Illinois. 17 of those in southern Illinois were wanted on charges of violent sex crimes or failure to register as sex offenders. Missouri Senator Kit Bond wants the National Guard to have more power. Bond introduced legislation yesterday that seeks to do just that. The Missouri Republican says the Guard is one of the nation's most important military and civilian resources. Bond's bill would allow the National Guard Bureau to establish more formal relations with the Office of the Secretary of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It would also elevate the position of Chief of the National Guard to a 4-star position and add the Chief to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Finally, this hour, the 57th annual Greater St. Louis Book Fair is underway. The book fair, which is one of the largest in the Midwest, runs through Monday at Westfield West County Mall. The book fair runs today and tomorrow from 10 in the morning until 10 at night, Sunday from 11 until 6, and Monday from 10 until 6. All of the proceeds from the book fair will benefit the Nursery Foundation of St. Louis, the oldest multicultural daycare center west of the Mississippi River. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Missouri's air traffic controllers. The FAA is imposing a contract on Missouri's air traffic controllers. One in four could retire. Call Senator Talent at 1-877-FAIR-FAA. Tell him to stop this risky plan. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. The Sowers traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Westbound 70 at 270, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer, there's road construction. Left lane's closed and traffic slows near Hampton. Northbound 55 at 141 and Lindbergh, look for no problems report. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and 44 is slow in pockets. Eastbound 40 from McKnight all the way to Hanley looks like you've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes all the way to Mid River, slight delays. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170 look for slow traffic, particularly in the right lane as you approach 170. Eastbound 70 at 270 and St. Charles Rock Road, look for some congestion there. Westbound 40 at Hampton and Hanley, look for heavy volume. Eastbound 44 between the Meraz Overpass all the way into Merrimack River Bridge, look for slight delays. And in all your approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the King Bridge are stacking up this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until the damage is done? The Orkin Man wants you to call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN and get your free inspection today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny today. High in the mid-70s this evening. Mostly cloudy. A 50% chance of showers with a low around the mid-50s. For Saturday and Sunday, pretty much the same picture. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. Possible local heavy rainfall at times. Both days you could expect the highs in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Brothers, it is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
And people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound that you propose at the low knee.
Trouble more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggled against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied existence.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I know this. I know this from talking to people. I know this from dealing with people. I know this from phone calls that I've gotten from folks. People are terrified out there. Terrified out here about health care, and teary-eyed grandmothers are making the decision between paying their rent or buying their medicine. Confused children trying to wade their way through an insane program put out by this administration, thousands of programs to choose from to try to get prescription medication for their mom and their dads. You almost have to have a PhD to wade through the minutiae. Families, young families that can't afford to get sick. We do it wrong in this country. Let's just be clear. We do it wrong in this country. The way that we treat people when they are sick is wrong. The system does not work. And so, knowing that, feeling that, experiencing that, there's a story coming out of Massachusetts. A fix to this broken health care system that we have in the United States of America. Is it a fix? This Massachusetts health care plan, is it ideology? Is it good economics? Does it work? Should it be a model for the rest of the United States? Well, we need an answer to this, because people are hurting. People have bad choices, and then people have no choices. We live in a country where you just can't afford to get sick. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this Massachusetts health care plan. And we're going to do that by talking to two people from Massachusetts. Professor Alan Sager of Boston University School of Public Health is joining us from Boston this morning. Professor, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
And also Benjamin Day, the Executive Director of MassCare. He's also joining us from Boston, Massachusetts. Benjamin, good morning. Benjamin, good morning.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good.
Very good. Professor Alan Sager, let's start with you. Is the system kind of the way that I described it? Are people having trouble out here, aren't they?
You are right.
Talk to us about the medical, the choices that people have as you see it today.
Too many of us suffer premature death and constant pain and disability for lack of needed care. And that's a tragedy, because we already spend more than enough to take care of everyone.
And Benjamin Day, give us the beginning of this program. Where did this Massachusetts health care plan begin?
Well, it began with a draft of a plan that was put together and funded by insurance companies and the hospital administrations.
That doesn't sound like a good start.
No, it's not a good start. Basically, the centerpiece of this bill is a provision that requires uninsured people to buy their own insurance on the private market, or they'll be penalized on their tax forms. It's sort of like if you tried to solve homelessness by passing a bill saying that homeless people had to rent, would be required to rent their own apartments, which is no solution at all. It basically criminalizes those lacking insurance, saying you have to buy it or else, which, as you can imagine, is a bonanza for the insurance company, but is not a solution for low-income people who don't have health care.
Well, Professor, they say that this bill expands Medicaid eligibility. Isn't that good?
Well, it expands Medicaid eligibility a little bit, but not very much. And it provides some subsidy. So people under 100% of poverty are supposed to get insurance that's completely paid for with existing and new state dollars. But the subsidy phases out at triple poverty, which for a family of four is $60,000. And with our cost of living, that's not as much money as it used to be. And health insurance premiums in Greater Boston are running $12,000 a year to $14,000 a year for family coverage. So a family at triple poverty would have to pay money equal to 20-25% of their income for health insurance.
Didn't the former governor of Massachusetts, Dukakis, I believe was his name,
mm-hmm.
didn't he say that he was going to solve this back when he was in office, and didn't he put some plan in place, and
yeah.
How are we doing with that plan?
Well, he got a bill through the legislature 18 years ago that would require employers to pay for insurance. And in those dollars, they would have had to pay about $1,700 per worker per year. The new bill is going to make employers pay $25 a month if they don't provide insurance. And with today's purchasing power, employers' burden is only 5% as great as it was 18 years ago under the Dukakis law.
Benjamin, I think this is confusing for people when you see a Teddy Kennedy up there saying this is a good thing. This is a wonderful thing. Is this kind of like Ted Kennedy and the senator from Arizona coming together on the immigration policy? It's got to be about big business.
It's a surreal situation. It's definitely about big business and lobbying interests. And I mean, we should be clear that lots of healthcare bills like this have been passed over the years, like the Massachusetts bill in 1988, which we should clarify was never implemented because it taxes business and there was fierce business opposition to it. It was never implemented. And there have been dozens of these state laws that have been passed that have mostly targeted businesses that have never been implemented, and now they're targeting individuals, low-income people, who have less political power.
And this is going to get implemented, right?
It may be. This is what we're worried about and we're trying to organize around. But it is targeting targeting as a tax base a much more vulnerable group of people, a group of people who don't have as much political influence, political power as the business class.
Are either one of you concerned about the buzz that this plan has been getting? This plan has been touted as Massachusetts has fixed its problem.
Mm.
Are either one of you concerned about that kind of message being out there?
Yeah. If it were this easy, we would have done it 50 years ago or 10 years ago. The press and the TV have gone crazy about this, almost rapturous and reverential. And there's not much there. Everybody's so excited because the bill passed both houses of our legislature unanimously in one house and with only two dissenting votes in the other house.
How could that be?
Well, they promised to do something.
Who's
a year ago, and also we faced the threat of losing $400 million in Medicaid money So they had to pass something.
Okay, gotcha.
And so, naturally, the worse the bill, the louder everybody touts it. Also, the hospitals make huge amounts of money under the bill, and they are incredibly powerful, especially in Boston.
Explain how the hospitals make money under this bill.
Two ways. They get over $500 million in Medicaid rate hikes, even though most of that money goes to the wealthiest and most prosperous hospitals that need the money the least. And they also get rate hikes from the free care pool. The bill spends the same money twice. It increases spending in the state that already has the highest health care costs in the world, which makes the bill unsustainable.
Mm.
And many of the people who are going to get hit by this mandate to buy insurance don't have the money, and they will be excused from having to buy coverage after they appeal. But meanwhile, they'll be put through the bureaucratic wringer. There's something bad in this law for almost everybody.
Benjamin, is this true? I'm reading this, and this just can't possibly be true. If you are a person that makes more than three times the poverty income, if you're a person about $30,000 a year and you're a single person, you would have to buy your own coverage or you pay a fine?
That is the law that applies to everybody, in fact.
You pay a fine?
That's right. The fine you have to pay in your tax fee will be exactly half of the cheapest health insurance plan. So let's say the cheapest health insurance plan is $4,000 a year. Your fine will be $2,000 a year if you don't buy your own health insurance. And that's up and down the spectrum. They're promising to subsidize people, you know, below 300% of the poverty line, although they haven't raised the money necessary to subsidize those people.
So let me get this straight. You're a 30-year-old person.
Mm-hmm.
You make $30,000 a year. You haven't been to the hospital once. You haven't seen a doctor once. You have had no reason to go and have any medical care done at all. You still have to pay $2,000 a year as a fine.
You'll have to pay $2,000 a year fine, or you'll have to pay for $4,000 a year for health insurance, which will be about 20% of your income or up.
And where does this $2,000 fine go?
It goes towards subsidizing other people, presumably.
But do we know where this $2,000 goes for real?
It goes to the fund that will subsidize other people, but you know, probably, you know.
So there, Benjamin, are they saying that it's kind of like people are forced in some states, people are forced into auto insurance. You have to, but I guess it's different because if you don't have a car, or if you can have a car sitting in your driveway, but you don't drive it, you don't have to have auto insurance.
No, it's very punitive.
If I don't want to
have. Based on an ideology that blames individuals for not having health insurance.
Mm. But also.
You're responsible, and it's a twisted, punitive ideology that's driving it.
But also, if I'm 30 years old and I'm trying to save for a house or I'm trying to build a business and I've made a fiscal decision, you know what, I can't afford health insurance right now, I'm going to put my money into this, they're saying, no, you got to give us your money anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Does any other state do this?
No, this isn't done anywhere in the world that I'm aware of. I mean, people don't buy insurance because they can't afford it.
Period, dot.
Exactly. I mean, we should be fighting. Your access to health insurance should have nothing to do with the money that you have in your pocket. And almost no other countries in the developed world are structured that way except the United States. And these are the dilemmas that we're sort of exacerbating the dilemma of, you know, do I pay for housing or do I pay for health care? Do I pay for food? Do I pay for health care? And they're making the decision for people. You have to buy health care, even if it means sacrificing these other basic needs. Or, you know, if people appeal the process like Professor Sager was talking about, then they won't have to buy health insurance, but they'll still be uninsured. So the bill is not addressing the actual problem of the health care crisis.
And, Professor, I'm chilled by what Benjamin just said, that we are the only country that bases it depends on how much money you have in your pocket for you to get health care coverage.
Yeah, we stumbled into that by accident. Most other countries simply say you're a citizen, you live here, you work, you're covered.
Let me get to a caller or two here. You have a question for our guest,
yes,
Professor Sager. Wait a minute, Professor Sager or Benjamin Day?
I was wanting to ask either one of them. Isn't this a form of enslavement when you are taking, you are forcing people to give you your money? And just who is this money going to? Is it going to the insurance companies, or is it going to some administrative group who's going to take it and make themselves rich? And the people who can't, like you said, can't afford to save for a house or for future education or what have you, themselves or their children, isn't this a form of enslavement?
Too much money goes to administration. Too much money goes to the insurance companies. And on top of that, everybody's going to have to pay. Every family would have to pay the same $14,000 a year to buy insurance, no matter what your income is. Now, that is just totally unfair.
This is a question to both of you. Are other people in Massachusetts getting this, that this is not a fix, or is this going to pass?
It passed, yeah.
So it's done?
Well, it hasn't been implemented,
okay.
And it's going to be very hard to put it into practice because the money isn't there to pay for it.
So
yeah.
Who's...
There's been more criticism of this bill in Massachusetts than in the rest of the country, I think, sadly. Just because the local press has been actually reading the bill, actually getting the perspective of local critics a little bit. I don't want to overplay this too much, but the national press has been much more euphoric about this and totally uncritical, not looking at what the bill actually does, just sort of focusing on the fact that Republicans and Democrats agreed on it, but that doesn't tell us anything about the actual bill itself or what we're going to have to live with when it's implemented.
Or as if the goal is for Republicans and Democrats to get along.
Exactly.
454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my long-distance number. Don't forget, we are streamed on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net, and my show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org, so you can get any of the hours there. And also check out the website for more information at LizBrown.com. And we are going to take a break right now. I am talking to Professor Alan Sager of Boston University School of Public Health and Benjamin Day, Executive Director of MassCare, also joining us from Boston, Massachusetts. We're talking about this Massachusetts health care plan, pure ideology, good economics, or just another way for big business to get over. I think you know the answer. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back after this.
Of me, he's calling black people trash to his children.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
This is Liz Brown, and you know me. I always try to plan your life, so here is something else I want you to do. Saturday, May 6th, put that on your calendar, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., the People's Lawyer, Chokwe Lumumba, will speak on injustice in America, from the courtroom to Katrina, at Muhammad Academy, 3526 Garrison at Natural Bridge. Also, there will be a special guest speaker, Dr. Imari Obadeli. This is a timely event sponsored by the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa. The cost is $25. But this includes dinner. Tickets are available at Ujamaa Bookstore, and also the same price at the door. For more information, call 839-0422, 839-0422, 839-0422. Saturday, May the 6th, put it on your calendar.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger, join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. That's right. 2 to 5 every weekday. I look forward to hearing from you. If you have any problems with a personal work or family relationship, give me a call at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU. For the personal issues that matter most, call me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 5, every weekday afternoon. Then, go do the right thing.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Westbound 70 at 270. All roadways are reopened after an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 at Adelaide, look for an accident, possibly blocking some traffic at lanes at this hour. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer, look for road construction, left lane is closed. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh, look for no problems to report. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is returned back to normal. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and Mid Rivers Mall, expect slight delays. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170, look for slow traffic there, and all roadways approaching the bridges are still stacked up in your 830 commute. Kings Highway at 40, there's an accident. The right lane is blocked and on the westbound ramp to Highway 40. And Watson at 44, look for a disabled vehicle on the ramp to 44. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap a screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny this morning and partly cloudy by this afternoon, high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers. The low should be in the mid-50s. For Saturday and Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are expected. Both days, you can expect a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have 61 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol in Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The Wake-Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake-Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743. Or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743, or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning we are talking about the Massachusetts health care or health plan, and our guest joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, Professor Alan Sager of Boston University School of Public Health, and Benjamin Day, the Executive Director of Mass Care. Gentlemen, we are going to go to the phone lines to get some calls and comments from some of our listeners. Mike, do you have a question for Professor Alan Sager or Benjamin Day?
Yes, I do, Liz. How are you doing?
Very good.
Good. One thing I wanted to ask, would it be cheaper to have the state to have, like, small mini clinics for preventive medicine, and they run it, you know, and also maybe have hospitals, state-run hospitals in the big rural areas, I mean in the big suburban city areas, and what do they think would be what country has the best model for healthcare? And I'll hang up and listen.
Is there a better way of doing this?
I think caller focuses on something that's crucial. Just putting, even if the Massachusetts plan could work, which it won't, but even if it could work and put an insurance card in everybody's pocket, the card doesn't do much good if there isn't a doctor or a health center or a hospital nearby to take care of you.
So what are you saying? That there aren't enough hospitals? There aren't enough places for people to go?
All the hospitals in the northern half of St. Louis have closed in the last 50 years, as one example.
Yeah.
There are 8 hospitals left in the city of Detroit with over 1 million people. Race is the second biggest.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
There used to be 61 hospitals in Detroit. There are 8 left, all of them large teaching hospitals. The smaller, less expensive community hospitals spread throughout the city have overwhelmingly closed, and the race of the people who live around the hospital is the biggest or second biggest predictor of which hospitals close.
So there's not enough hospitals for people to go to anyway, even if they had this little card.
In Boston itself, things are okay, but we've closed half the hospitals in Massachusetts since President Kennedy was inaugurated.
Let me get to another caller. Doris, you have a question for our guest.
Yes. I'm trying to find out, what are they doing about the people? It's 2 questions, and I'll hang up. What are they doing about the mentally ill people as far as insurance? And then the second thing is, as far as individuals that are in the system, meaning, I don't know, St. Louis, we would call it DFS, those that are being emancipated or kicked out of the system at 18, what are these children supposed to be doing about health care? I'll hang up there.
Did you get Doris's question?
Yeah. These are closely related, because actually one of the dangerous things in the bill is that it creates new lower standards that healthcare plans have to meet. It creates these new, they're trying to create cheaper healthcare plans essentially, but they would cover much less. And of course, one of the first things to go is mental health. The second thing to go is prescription drug coverage. And the worst hit by these lower standards is young adults. They've actually, and this is also a first in Massachusetts, not a good first, they have a separate set of regulations now in this new bill for plans that cover young adults as opposed to plans that cover everyone else. The plans that cover young adults can be much worse, can have higher deductibles, can have higher copayments, can have higher cost sharing. So even if you pay for the health insurance, it's going to cost you a lot more money to use them if you're a young adult. And the standards are lower in terms of what they have to cover. So this is really a dangerous precedent. Especially for the young adults should be worried about the people who are falling off their parents' insurance or falling off public insurance for children up to 18.
And they, too, are required if they make, again, over $30,000 a year, they, too, would also be required to pay for their own insurance or be fined.
Yes, even if they don't make $30,000 a year.
And what are businesses saying about this? What are small businesses saying about this plan?
Businesses were not behind this plan.
Really?
There was initially a plan that would have charged a much higher fee for business, not much, but somewhat higher fee, about twice what it currently is. And businesses fought a defensive battle to bring that down, which they won somewhat. But the fact is, this bill doesn't do anything for people who currently do pay insurance and have to pay these astronomical prices. We have, even though we have terrible care in the United States and we have a lot of uninsured people, we pay more than almost any other country per person. So, you know, you hear all the time about businesses who are trying to, you know, deteriorate or kick their workers off healthcare plans because it costs them so much. And it's costing governments a lot to provide health insurance for their workers and to provide, you know, these public healthcare programs like Medicaid and Medicare, which become more expensive every year. This bill doesn't do anything with it. So a lot of especially small business associations in Massachusetts have been expressing dissatisfaction. Well, what does this do for the problem of healthcare costs? It doesn't do anything for healthcare costs. And healthcare costs, the skyrocketing costs, are really at the root of almost all the problems we have here because it's so hard to expand coverage to everyone when we have to pay so much for it.
And I guess the question is, the issue is, what is the solution to this?
Well, Liz, picking up on what Ben just said, let me ask you a question, if I may. I don't want to put you on the spot, but in Missouri, how much would you guess this year will be average health care spending per person?
By who?
Well, no matter where the money comes from.
Okay.
Just say, good, say total spending per person in the state of Missouri, insurance, Medicare, out-of-pocket, whatever.
$2,500.
Triple it.
Really?
$7,500 per person this year. Statewide, $44 billion will be spent on health care for almost 6 million people in the state of Missouri.
But, Professor, the issue is that if that much money is being spent, why are people so scared? Why are people not healthier? Why are people still not getting the health care that they need?
Well, first, because we waste half what we spend on unnecessary care, defensive medicine, paperwork, the world's highest drug prices, and a little theft around the edges.
And marketing.
Yeah. But we can do something about all those things. We can squeeze out the waste and recycle. We can squeeze out the fat and recapture it as bone and muscle to take care of real people.
Now, I want to continue this conversation. I also want to say the S-word, single payer. Can we talk about that as well? My guest this morning, Benjamin Day, Executive Director of MassCare, and Professor Alan Sager of Boston University School of Public Health. We're talking about the Massachusetts Health Care Plan. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. How about a tractor? How about a lawnmower? How about a tool? How about a microwave? How about a dishwasher? Come on. You don't have to fill up your tank and take out a bank loan to get to the mall. It's right here in the city of St. Louis, the only full-service Sears in the entire city of St. Louis. My name is Liz Brown. When you get on over to 3425 Union, you tell them I told you to.
Meeting teen girls online is easy. It's as simple as going into a chat room and starting up conversations. Chatting seems safe to them, so they're much easier to approach than they would be in person. Once we start chatting, I act as cool and understanding as possible. I wait out their suspicions. The longer we talk, the more they trust me. Usually it doesn't take all that long. When they send me their picture, I tell them how hot they are. A lot of girls have never had a guy tell them they're beautiful or special or smart, so they eat it up. After I have them convinced we're soulmates and I should be their boyfriend and all that, I ask them to meet in person. The trick is never saying we have to meet. You ask them, make it seem like it's their choice. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you? 1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn how you can protect yourself from online predators. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes. But really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline New York. The head of the World Bank, Paul Wolfowitz, has given a payback to some countries that helped play a part in American military policy. When he worked at the Defense Department, he designed agreements that provided for the suspension of military aid to any countries that would allow U.S. troops to be prosecuted by the International Criminal Court. As his way of saying thanks for going along with these bilateral immunity agreements, he's decided to allow them debt relief with the World Bank. A number of countries agreed to the U.S. demands on those exemptions, a few of which are Honduras, Ethiopia, Zambia, and Bolivia. Three countries that have not gone along with it are Mali, Niger, and Tanzania. But the prospect of having their debts expunged may be enough to get them to go along with the program. This is a clear indication how the administration continues to force nations to dance to its foreign policy tune. And Dateline Washington. The saga of Congressman Duke Cunningham is not yet over. Prosecutors are now looking into reports that contractors he took bribes from for government contracts may have provided him with free prostitutes and free use of a limo and hotel suites. The investigation may also be expanded to see if other members of Congress could have gotten free sexual favors as well. FBI agents have been talking to employees of escort services around Washington, as well as other potential witnesses who may have knowledge of those allegations. The manager of the Watergate Hotel says the feds want to look at the records of rooms there. Cunningham, a Republican from San Diego, received an 8-year sentence in March after admitting he took about $2.5 million worth of bribes to help contractors get large-dollar projects from the Defense Department and other government agencies. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. This morning our discussion is the Massachusetts Health Plan. Is it ideology? Is it good economics? Or is it another boondoggle and giveaway to big business? Our guest this morning joining us from Boston, Benjamin Day, the Executive Director of MassCare, and Professor Alan Sager of Boston University School of Public Health. A single payer. Gentlemen, is that a possibility? Is that a solution?
Yes. I mean, all of the problems that we've been discussing, the problems of these spiraling healthcare costs that are causing this crisis of coverage, and some of the problems that we haven't been discussing, such as the incredibly discriminatory access to healthcare in the United States, which is also very unique to the United States. We have uninsurance rates for Latinos and Latinas are just astronomically higher than that for everyone else. And the outcomes of our actual health, for example, infant mortality rates are much, much higher among the African-American community. These are discrepancies that don't exist in countries that use single-payer healthcare systems, or they're dramatically lower in countries that use single-payer healthcare systems.
Because people have access.
Right. Access to health care is a right that's enforced by the government. There's a conservative movement in the United States to try and have our various rights enforced by private markets, but markets are not good at actually enforcing rights.
That's not their job either.
Exactly, but there's a movement to do this, and we're seeing it more and more in health care now as well. And just for listeners, single payer is sort of an ugly term. It's not recognized by everybody, but it means that the government provides health insurance for everybody. We don't have these thousands of health insurance companies. And the reason that that's important is that when we rely on private insurance companies to provide health insurance for us, they're driven by a bottom line. And the best way that they can be profitable is to essentially avoid insuring sick people. Right? They want to spend as little as they possibly can and bring in as much as they can. So we can see this logic of how people get pushed out of the system. And then the government tries to sort of, in an ad hoc way, tries to pick up people who are pushed out of the private system. But we don't have enough money to do it because there's an attack on the tax base. And a lot of people get left out of the system. And even people who are covered, there's this sort of rampant problem of underinsurance, people who have bad insurance, which is not adequate to meet their actual health needs.
And I don't know which is worse. I don't know which is worse, not having insurance or having insurance, having the mindset that I do have insurance, but it really doesn't pay for anything.
Yeah.
And Professor, I want to ask you this question because I need to know how we can change the mindset of Americans out there. Hillary Clinton, and I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton, was annihilated talking about this universal health care plan. It seems like American citizens don't get it, don't get that health care should be a right, they don't get that we shouldn't have to be suffering like this, and that the insurance companies are making tons of money at our expense.
Almost all Americans do say that health care is a right. but we haven't had politicians speaking the truth in public about how to get there. For example, how many people listening to us this morning know that healthcare spending in the United States this year is 4 times as great as defense spending?
I don't suspect that many people knew that.
Yeah, you're right. How many politicians have said that healthcare spending in the United States is 4 times defense spending, or that healthcare spending is double what any other country spends, and they all take care of everyone, live longer, and like their care better? A few honest politicians on healthcare will go a long way.
But we're the ones that put the politicians there.
Well,
and it comes back to my question of I don't, it doesn't, it feels like Americans want, are suffering in resignation, that this is the only way that it can be.
Well, we're running out of gas.
Mm.
Healthcare is addicted to more money for business as usual. Hospitals are worried. Doctors are worried. They know that when healthcare stops short during the next bad recession, when the economy stops short during the next bad recession, healthcare is going to crash through the windshield. So we have to make healthcare affordable for everybody, which we can do because we spend more than enough already after we squeeze out the waste. And single payer is one very helpful way to squeeze out the waste.
Well, Benjamin, my concern is that it feels like that America is being sold a bill of goods here, that this Massachusetts plan has solved this problem, that we won't get to a single-payer place because we're being told that this problem is being fixed. Should we wait till it crashes through the window and then maybe we can get it fixed?
No. You never want to wait for the crash. I mean, there is a real danger that, especially in Massachusetts, this bill is being used to sort of bludgeon alternative options. And there's a movement, there's been a movement for the last 4 or 5 years in Massachusetts to get a ballot, a question on the ballot that would amend our Constitution saying this legislature must provide health care to everyone that is affordable and quality.
Mm.
Now, since this bill has passed, suddenly all the politicians who are supporting that that ballot initiative are saying, oh, well, we probably don't need that anymore. We've just passed something that will guarantee universal health.
That's my point.
So it is currently an uphill battle, but it, I think especially as the implementation of this bill doesn't work and we see what it actually does, that's going to be an opportunity for us to organize around, and that's the only option that we see is to organize a grassroots movement around it.
And that has to be the last word. Professor Alan Sager of Boston University School of Public Health and Benjamin Day, Executive Director of MassCare, thank you for joining me this morning.
Hi, Liz.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. I will be back in just a few minutes. Stay with me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, City's influence.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Another oil company well in the black from black gold. The price of crude is driving up profits at Chevron to $4 billion in the third quarter, up from $2.7 billion before. What's making big oil big, meanwhile, is bringing out the worst in those really feeling the pinch of the gas prices. Police in Baltimore say someone stole 900 gallons from one gas station, 2,800 gallons from another. And a witness saw someone standing at one of those altered pumps actually taking money from drivers.
I think everybody's trying to think of things every time. It's amazing what people do nowadays.
If you live in New Jersey, you may be pumping your own soon. No biggie, says this woman.
As long as it'll save me a couple of cents, yeah, it's an easy thing to learn.
President Bush once tried a fuel efficiency rule so vehicles use less gas. The jury deciding the fate of Zacharias Moussaoui is at work again today. It had the day off yesterday because a juror was sick. Moussaoui is the only person in the U.S. charged in connection with 9/11. The jury will decide if he'll be executed or he'll get life in prison. Monday is May Day, a labor holiday in Mexico.
Mexico, so a lot of people won't be at work. There are a lot of immigration rallies planned for this side of the border on that day, and some Mexicans are getting a jump on the activities today. More from ABC's Donna Raponte.
Thousands of union workers in Mexico City, like electric and phone company workers, will march and rally today for their own rights, but they will combine their fight with that of illegal immigrants in the U.S. The union workers say they are just like immigrants who work hard and honorably to pay rent and put food on the table. Donna Rapato, ABC News, Mexico City.
The only survivor of the West Virginia coal mine explosions put his story into a letter to the families of the men who didn't survive. Randall McCloy says they knew they were in trouble from the get-go.
After the blast, McCloy writes, he and his fellow Sago miners switched on their emergency air packs, filled with an hour's worth of precious oxygen.
But most of those packs didn't work. That's ABC's Nancy Wiener. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'll be relaxing on a new low-maintenance composite deck this summer. Number three, normal decks require upkeep. I am not an upkeep kind of guy. Number two, the destructive forces of sun and moisture. Powerless. And number one, I'll not only save my skin from splinters, I'll save money, too.
Get 10% off all in-store and special order Veranda, Trex, and Eon decking and fencing only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through May 7th at U.S. only. Maximum discount is $1,000. See store for details.
Well, you can tell your feet to stay right in your seat. My server's gonna bring it to your car. And you can tell your tongue it's gonna have some fun. Come, Applebee's is ready when you are. Carside to go, carside to go. In case you didn't understand, you call up Applebee's, you order what you please. And dinner's going home in your sedan.
Participating locations.
She had an early taste of fame, and now a young author is learning what can happen when you are no longer the media's darling.
Earlier this week, Harvard University sophomore Kavya Viswanathan said she accidentally borrowed passages from another author to grace some of the pages of her book. But now her publisher has told stores to stop selling the book and send back any remaining copies. Toby Berkovitz, associate dean of the Boston University School of Communications, says the young author is in a bad place.
Well, the author is now going to learn what happens when you are first a phenomenon and then the media eats its own.
The publisher says they will revise the book. It's hard to tell what can be done, though, to revise the author's reputation. Carl Stevens, ABC News, Boston.
You may have done just about anything to get out of gym class when you were in school. A teacher in Florida is making it easy for students. Just give them a dollar each time you want to skip and you're golden. Well, school officials in Escambia County aren't amused. They say it's bribery, and that guy could be in a lot of trouble. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, three men are hospitalized in St. Louis after a single car crash last night in St. Francois County. The Missouri Highway Patrol says the car was traveling at a high rate of speed on Doss Road when the driver missed a curve and hit a tree. The driver and two passengers were airlifted to St. Louis area hospitals with serious injuries. Governor Matt Blunt is pushing for mandatory minimum sentences for sex offenders. State lawmakers are considering a bill that would require a life sentence with a minimum of 25 years served for forcible rape or forcible sodomy when the victim is under 12 years of age. Blunt says he called for those minimum sentences more than 9 months ago, and he wants the General Assembly to get the bill to his desk quickly with an emergency clause. Missouri Senator Jim Talent is co-sponsoring a bill aimed at investigating unsolved civil rights-era murders. The Unsolved Civil Rights Crime Act will be introduced this week. The bill would establish a new FBI office and a special section in the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division to investigate unsolved murders like the Emmett Till case. Finally this hour, two well-known fundraising organizations are putting aside their friendly rivalry to help Haven House, St. Louis. Members of the Kiwanis and Elks will host an all-you-can-eat pasta dinner on Sunday to raise money for this nonprofit organization, which provides lodging, care, and support services to out-of-town families with a child who is hospitalized in St. Louis. Spokesman Ken Bush explains.
Instead of just the Ronald McDonald House in the city, parents or guardians will have an alternative, the Haven House in a campus setting in the heart of Creve Court. And it's not just for the parents. A lot of times they'll bring the rest of their family, too. And so it'll be kind of a lodge, dorm, home away from home.
The fundraiser will be held at the Elks Lodge 9 in Creve Coeur on Sunday from 4 until 7 p.m. Call 314-434-5858 for more information. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Try the new Asian salad at McDonald's. Orange glazed chicken, mandarin oranges, snow peas, red bell peppers, almonds, and fresh greens with low-fat sesame ginger dressing. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Westbound 70 at Shreveport, disabled vehicle, left lane is blocked. Northbound 270 at Ledoux and Olive, look for a disabled vehicle, left lane is blocked there. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge all the way to Chain of Rocks Bridge, look for bridge maintenance operations, reducing that to one lane. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer, there's road construction, left lane is closed and slows near Hampton. Westbound 40 from Clayton Skinker to Hanley, look for slow traffic. McCree at Kings Highway, there's a report of an accident in both directions. Camp Jackson at 255, look for various lanes closed due to road construction. There are several road construction sites going on, so just slow down around those construction areas. All approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge and the King Bridge have returned back to normal. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Mostly sunny this morning, becoming mostly partly cloudy by this afternoon with a high in the mid-70s. This evening, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, a low in the mid-50s. For Saturday, occasional showers, possible thunderstorms, locally heavy rain is possible at times, high in the mid-60s. And Sunday, showers and thunderstorms likely to continue with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Revolution!
let's say, the progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the proposed at the low base.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help and can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied the existence.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Healthy Futures is on hiatus. They will be back to join us soon. So this is a full hour of your calls, your comments, your concerns, your questions. If you just want to say something, give me a call at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, Kathy, good morning.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment about those two guests that you just had on.
Mm-hmm.
We need to kind of educate ourselves a little bit on the difference between an insurance company and an HMO and a healthcare entity, okay? The insurance laws govern insurance companies. There is no law that governs HMOs and healthcare entities, okay? So when they talked about poor coverage, they were referencing the HMOs or the healthcare entities because there is no law governing them. And those are actually endorsed by the government. I don't know whether a lot of people realize that or not. And the reason I say that is because, and those are poorer plans. Those are the plans that when on the news you hear the government is mandating or dictating that women have to have a mammogram every year, those are what they're directing that piece of legislation towards, okay? Now, in a regular insurance plan, you have an actual policy, and the policy is a binding contract. And you probably know what a binding contract is because you're familiar with that. And the reason I say the government endorses these poor plans is because ever since the early 90s when they decided to find a solution or a so-called solution to the health care rising cost, they shifted over to these entities of HMOs and health care entities. And in doing so, they said these entities stated that they could lower the cost, but they failed to really push the fact that they would also be lowering the benefits. And the reason I say the government endorses this is because they, number one, for seniors, make it harder for them to disenroll from these plans. Everything now has gone to this 1-800-Medicare. In the past, say you got into one of these plans and you didn't like these plans, you could go and disenroll mm-hmm. at the Social Security office. Mm-hmm. Now they won't let you do that. Now mm-hmm. you have to go through this maze of telephone calls and trying to reach the right department, and maybe you'll be disenrolled and maybe you won't because you don't have any piece of paper there to verify the fact that you actually had this put into the system and you did disenroll. So they're making it harder and harder. Yet at the same time, the government keeps saying, oh, we want to do this. This is so unbelievable that they tell people this or make mention of this. Also, this new Part D drug plan, since all the calls go to that 1-800 Medicare number, there's a bombardment of millions of calls, so it would be literally impossible for you to try to do anything when you're trying to go.
It is impossible.
Yeah, to
it
them and to. So they're making it harder and harder and harder. And also, they were allowed to go into senior centers, and when they went into senior centers, the HMOs and the healthcare entities could write these people. They sometimes had no premium or little or no premium. And when anybody does anything for nothing, you have to say, oops, what's the catch here?
Yeah, absolutely. And because there is there isn't anything like that.
Right. There isn't. But they actually let those entities go into senior centers. They let them write plans. They write on premise. Whereas the regular insurance companies were not allowed to do that.
Never allowed to do that. And I want to thank you, Kathy.
Welcome.
Thanks so much for calling. 454-0400 is my phone number. Marty, you're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know, I was looking at something on TV today, and I've been hearing about it off and on, this thing that George Clooney was doing about going to the Sudan and seeing the annihilation of the darker Muslims and the light-skinned Muslims are destroying the darker Muslims.
When did Clooney say that?
Yeah.
When did he say that?
He went over there yesterday. I mean, they were showing
Wait a minute. I've been to Sudan.
Really?
I've been to Darfur. Everybody's a Muslim. They all look like me.
Well, they were saying that, you know, there's people trying to be annihilated over there.
Again, that whole, finally the news had finally stopped misrepresenting that it was some kind of dark-skinned Muslims going at, everybody looked like me or darker.
Yeah, so, like I said, there's two sides to every story. Find out what's going on with that.
No, there's not two sides to every story. There's a right and there's a wrong. I mean, that is absolute. I have been there. I have been to Darfur. I have been there. I have seen the Muslim people. They look like you. They look like me.
Right.
And there is no, and I think that that's playing into the stereotype of that Muslim people are light-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Muslim nation. It is. It's a Muslim country.
Mm-hmm.
That is who they are. The 90% of the people that are there are Muslims.
Okay.
So it's not that light skin, dark skin, the Janjawi crap that we heard out there about this is what the issue is. No, it is not. No, it is not.
Okay.
And in fact, I broadcast from Sudan.
Okay. I remember you were over there in Africa.
I was in Ghana, and then I was also in Sudan.
Right. And one other thing, I was listening to about the insurance that was going on I can't think of what state it was, but it was a state where the caucus was
Massachusetts,
mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, it's funny that when he was running for president, he was going up against Bush's father, right?
I believe it was, yes.
Yeah, and he was trying to be honest and try to tell people that he was going to have to raise taxes, you know. And then Bush came up there and said no new taxes and all that. And as soon as he got in there,
how did that work out for Bush?
How did it work out for Bush?
Saying no new taxes.
Oh, it made people take a good look at what was going on in some aspect.
No, what it made was George Bush did not get reelected. Remember, he ran for office.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He didn't get reelected.
Because he said, read my lips,
no new taxes. Right.
So it didn't work out for him very well.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. Rob.
Yeah, Liz, just to set the record straight, George Clooney and his father was over in Darfur doing a documentary exposing the genocide that's going on. He made no reference to color at all.
Okay, all right. I didn't see it. I'm just that's what somebody said.
No, they showed the black people, but he never said white. Light-colored or black-colored.
But if you remember what the news was in the initial stages, when this came to the attention of most Americans, the initial push was that is exactly what was going on, that the Jean Jouy, it was a race and color thing. Dark-skinned Muslims were trying to, or no, light-skinned Muslims were causing the genocide of dark-skinned African people, and that's not the case at all.
Well, Clooney was letting the picture speak for themselves, though.
Well, you also have to talk, too, because everything is not just a picture. But thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Earl.
Yes, Miss Liz Brown. Good morning.
Good morning.
Miss Liz Brown, I had called you some time ago, and I had invited you to take a bus ride to see what the buses are like here in North St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, rather than that, could you have a show where you have the bus drivers come on and let them tell you or tell the city what's going on our buses here in North St. Louis?
Well, I don't think that that would necessarily be an effective show, Earl, because...
Effective?
Yes, I don't think it would, and let me explain why. Because oftentimes people are, and I run into this all the time in my business, that people are hesitant to come on and criticize an entity that they are a part of out of fear of losing their job.
Well, I'm not talking about criticizing the bus company per se. I'm talking about our children, as you always proclaim.
Oh, you want them to come on and talk about how bad the kids are.
Ms. Lisper, I'm talking about living here in North St. Louis.
Okay, I got you. I program my own show, so thanks for the suggestion, but no thank you. Patty, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Liz. I was calling to ask you, had you heard anything about the windfall profit tax?
Windfall.
Yeah, windfall.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, is it true, you know, I'm just trying to get the right understanding.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Is it true that they're going to take like 50% of your retirement funds or, you know, if you like have a retirement savings?
No, ma'am, I have not heard about this. If you can give me some kind of details about it, no, I haven't. I know that there is some. The only time that I have heard in the last few days, the talk of the use of the word windfall is with regard to the profits that are being made to the oil companies, and that there was an attempt, ongoing attempts to try to capture some of the obscene profits that the oil companies have made as a result of the price of gas. That's where I've heard that word attached to lately. I'm unaware of anything that has to do with anybody's savings or retirement funds. So if there's information out there, you know, get that to me. I'm not aware of that.
Okay, because I kind of heard the back end of it,
mm-hmm.
and from my understanding, it had something to do with, like, if you had a profit-sharing account or whatever, that they're trying to pass a law in Congress now that they could take 50% of that.
You know what? I haven't heard that. Now, I wouldn't be surprised, because they certainly are resistant to mess with the oil company's money. It seems like, and we need more money, so
right.
It would be consistent coming after us. But again, I don't know. I have not heard of that.
Because I'm thinking about taking my money out. I can save my own money
if that's the case.
Right.
All right, Patty. Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Juanita.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Okay. I didn't hear you. I had a chance to listen to you after American Idol came on that Wednesday.
Yes, ma'am.
And I didn't understand how, you know, Paris could be on the bottom too.
Well, you know, I came on Wednesday and I made it clear that if Paris is in the bottom again, and if Paris doesn't win, or if Paris isn't down to the last two,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting a bullhorn and I'm going out on Grand. And I don't care if I'm the only person there. I'm going to have a little protest because that was outrageous.
I know that
baby girl was in the bottom of anything.
Exactly.
The gray-haired guy, I'm tired of him. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of Taylor.
Uh-huh.
I am absolutely tired of Taylor. He demonstrated to me that he doesn't have the chops to do it when he was given an opportunity to sing a love song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have picked a Rod Stewart. He could have picked a number of different songs. He sucked. He sucked. And if you can't find a love song, a contemporary love song to sing to showcase your talents as an artist, then you've got no chops. You've got no instinct, and you have no ability. He demonstrated to me that he can't go the distance.
Right, right. And I want to tell the audience, too, because I know a lot of people having the problem. I kept calling to, vote for her. I didn't get in. I kept calling. I didn't get in until like a quarter to ten.
Wow.
Maybe 5 minutes to ten. And I voted for my daughter because she wasn't home, and I voted for my son and everybody, I called back and voted for them.
Absolutely.
But people have to get in, even though they gave two numbers.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And that's mystifying, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's mystifying. But that baby is the entire package.
I know.
She has the presence. She looks into the camera. You can feel every single word that she's singing.
Exactly.
She has a sense of style that is unbelievable.
Exactly.
I can't believe that she's only 17. Just even if you just wanted to measure her on her sense of style.
Right.
For 17, you're amazing.
Right.
And then for the talent piece, when you have somebody, when you have every single artist that has spent at least, there's over 100 years worth of artistic experience of the people that came on American Idol, with Stevie Wonder's experience, Rod Stewart's experience, Kenny Rogers' experience. When you add up all of their experience, every single one of them talked about the talent of this little girl and the ability of this little girl.
Exactly.
And not that she's cute, not that she hugs good, not that she's pretty. It's that, and she is cute and pretty. They talked about her voice and her instrument. And the last person who talked about her instrument was just, it's clear, this baby is the entire package. And I'm going to get my little bullhorn. I don't care if I'm the only person on Grand. I'm going to have my own little protest.
I know what you mean.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Dave.
Yes. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Oh, that's good. I just want to say to your last caller, number one, they know that if they vote Paris out, they know that it won't be nobody hardly watching except for Caucasian people, and they know it. That's number one. Number two is they cited last year's show that some computer whizzes, which are the Caucasian people, have a device that they can block the calls of people trying to call. It's a real speedy device that gets them in and blocks a lot of calls. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, it's a device they have that can somehow, it blocks out a lot of other people, and it keeps them calling. It's on their computer. And he talked about that last year.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. This is Liz Brown, and you know me, I'm always trying to plan your life. Well, put this on your calendar. Saturday, May 6th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., the people's lawyer, Chokwe Lumumba, will speak on injustice in America from the courtroom to Katrina at Muhammad Academy, 3526 Garrison at Natural Bridge. Special guest speaker will be Dr. Imare Obadeli. This is a fabulous event. It's sponsored by the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa. The cost is $25. You can find the tickets at Ujamaa Bookstore. And also for more information, call 839-0422, 839-0422, 839-0422. That's Saturday, May 6th from 4 to 9 p.m. Please don't miss this.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card, and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Enter the Phillips 66 Fill Up Your Life giveaway. You could win Honda motorcycles or personal watercrafts or instantly win free quality ProClean gasolines. Visit fillupyourlife.com today. Life happens between empty and full.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy,
investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
The appointed wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
This is a little something to help you get through the day. If it could. More than a tragedy, emotions be grabbing me. Plain veil from the sky, trying to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God, who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS, to the happiness of you. Just be a man, make plans, listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives and dies? Who needs to stop? All these judgments on other lives needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees, still waiting for my own.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know what? It's interesting about George Clooney being over there in Darfur. And I was reading the final call. They were talking about the Chinese involvement. And why they're having the problems over there in the oil in the Sudan. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Of course. Absolutely. I went
this was in 1984 when I was stationed in Virginia, and I used to go up to New York with my wife's family. And they talked about the Chinese involvement, and the final call had the pictures of the people. They're all black.
I went with the final call. I was there when they wrote that article. So yeah.
But you know what, Liz? They talked about that before they were.
Oh, I see.
And you know another thing, I like black people to realize that the oldest sect of Muslims are in the Sudan region. The oldest sect of Judaism is in that Sudan-Ethiopian region. And the oldest sect of Christianity is in Ethiopia also. But all of them kind of interconnected. So when they show this picture of this white God, why is the oldest sect of all the major three religions are in that dark world? Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Christine.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. I heard you keep talking about Clooney being over in Darfur. I thought it was his father. You know which one's correct?
I have no idea. This is a story that's being brought to me this morning.
Uh-huh.
I've been told Clooney. I've been told Clooney's father.
Well,
don't know. I don't know.
Never find out.
Oh, no. We could find out, but I do not know the answer.
Okay. I didn't know whether you heard this or not, but it was very, very encouraging, and I thought it was a wonderful thing that Nigeria has paid off. They're almost debt-free. They paid off the billions of dollars that was loaned to them from these rich countries.
I mean, from the World Bank.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid off their you could consider them all the debt-free. So I thought that was a wonderful thing.
That is a wonderful thing. That is an absolutely wonderful thing.
And they seem to be a progressive place because I think there were women and men that were boycotting these big oil fields, trying to get the proper pay for proper work.
That would be my people. So, yeah, of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course they are fighting back.
And I think they won, really. I think it was...
It's not over yet, but they certainly continue. They need to continue doing what they're doing, and then some.
And one other thing I'd like to mention, I guess this has come under the category of trivia. Now, it made me really feel, I don't know what the word would be to describe it, but the Western Union, their telegrams have been discontinued. And, I mean, that made me feel like...
Say that again?
Huh?
Say that again?
The Western Union telegrams.
Oh, the actual using of the telegram itself.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that has been. Yes.
So I was just thinking that maybe... because people have the email and the faxes that they don't consider it, I guess, as profitable. So that leaves a lot of us out in the cold from getting our messages out faster or whatever, because I don't know. I don't know. I think there's a lot of us that don't have. I mean, I think there should be a survey, and I would be willing to bet more people don't have these computers at home than do.
I think that one of the reasons have more to do with fax machines than they do with telegram abilities because, a lot of places all you have to have is a phone line and electricity to have a fax machine and to get messages from place to place. So that's another reason why.
Email.
Well, email, but even if you don't have email, Kinko's has a fax machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's another reason. But thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I caught parts of your program about health care. I'd like to make a comment about it. One of the strategies that seems to be dominant in this capitalistic society is the fact that if you use the divide and conquer strategy, it's the best way to achieve power. Now, in relationship to your two guests, conspicuous by its absence in their discussion of medical care, they talked about government, they talked about insurance companies, they talked about people being required to do something, but conspicuous by its absence was the fact that where does industry fit into this picture?
Industry from what perspective, Dimitri?
Well, from this perspective, you can work 30, 40 years for a company, and you give your entire labor life to that company. And at the end of that 40 years, they give you a wristwatch and a piece of paper and boot your butt out the back door. I think what they should be required to do is what he's asking us to do, and that is require them to take out insurance so that when a worker retires, he's guaranteed health care, and that the employer, after he uses a person for 30 years, he's obligated. I feel he's obligated to take care of that person.
Well, I guess single-payer universal health care would make certain that everybody would get health care.
Yeah, but the point is, putting it on the government is favoring industry. In other words, what they were saying was divide and conquer. Get everybody fighting among the insurance companies and the people.
But okay, I'm looking at other countries, Dimitri.
Yeah.
When you look at European countries, when you look at Canadian countries, the money comes from taxes on businesses. The money comes from. I mean, we could get businesses to pay more of a share to cover it, but I mean, if everybody has health care, I don't see that as a shifting of the responsibility. In fact, I think that then you could demand more from businesses, because I think far too many businesses hide behind health care and don't provide things like daycare for their employees, don't provide things like health, like gyms for their employees to work, and don't provide things like flex care, don't provide things like pension funds. They hide behind health care as a reason why we can't afford to do any of this. So I think it frees businesses up, and gives us an opportunity to demand more from businesses. I don't want you to just cover my health care when I retire. I want my pension, and I want to not have illnesses as a result of the business practices that you've had. No flex care, no daycare, no time off for the birth of a new baby. None of those things, because you are hiding behind the cost of medical care.
Well, when you talk about Europe has more stringent controls about, for instance, in France, if you hire somebody, you hire them for life. You can't boot them out if you feel like.
I'm down with that rule too, Dimitri. Yeah, let's do that too. I mean, yes,
well,
let's do that too.
Well, the point is, when you make comparisons like that, you should realize that there are other checks and balances in place to be sure that when people retire that they have medical care. And I think the two guests you had on, by the fact that they avoided talking about the industry's responsibility.
Well, I think that that's an unfair characterization to say they avoided it. That means that they had it in their minds and chose not to do it. That's why we want people to call and ask questions. If you have that type of a question, you're supposed to call and ask people. We only have an hour to talk about things.
Yeah,
and
right.
to draw the conclusion that it was an avoidance is an unfair characterization. I think that it's a fair characterization to say it wasn't talked about, but to say it was avoided is unfair.
Well, I've seen so much of this going on in the government that the fact that news and information is withheld is a greater crime than lying about.
But you're on my show, Dimitri. Come on. All you had to do is pick up the phone and call. Unlike watching CBS News or NBC News, where you have no input at all you had to do is pick up the phone and ask the question.
Yeah, I shall next time.
All right.
I realize.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. You're doing a fine job. Listen, it was Clooney and his father that was over there, and he did mention genocide, but he only went to the camp that is near the border between
Chad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that country.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that the American people need to help.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't elaborate a lot, but he went to Congress and he said that he and his father were there, but they went to this large
refugee camp.
Mm-hmm. Right. Also, I want to tell you, Liz, they also had a special on the this man that was, remember this honeymooner that was thrown overboard? They disappeared off a ship. I think it was the Royal Caribbean. They showed this huge luxury liner, Liz, and the people on there were totally naked, dancing at midnight and drunk as skunks. They had a hidden camera thing, and it was horrible. I said, it's a great big boat. They said all they wanted to do was keep the people drunk, because the more they drank, the more their profits were.
Well, you know,
it was horrible.
Well, Kathy, I don't care. I mean, it's their boat. It's their boat. Well, it's their boat, and nobody was being forced to do anything. I don't care. You know, what people do on their own time and not at the expense of me. These are grown folks. They weren't children that they were, whatever they were doing this with.
Couple was caught on there. They didn't know that was happening. And this one, she was totally disgusted. She had her family. They said take her family back to the cabin. And on the way, she had to go through all these drunk people, drunk naked people.
There's so many more important things in the world than that.
The thing about the mammogram, they're not doing mammograms anymore. You have to pay for your own mammograms now if you go to the in the laws, because we have universal health care.
Okay.
And you have to pay for your own mammogram. Now, they've taken a lot of things out of the benefit package.
All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. When we come back, we're going to do our drawing. Stay with me.
Baile, baque, baile, mujeres, baile, banaque, baile, mujeres, macanisi, conango, zapanta, elena, macanisi, conango, zapanta, elena, baile, banaque, baile, mujeres.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Join the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes March to Stop Sexual Assault and Gender Violence on Saturday at 9 a.m. at Tower Grove Park. The walk expands the dialogue between men and women on gender differences, relationships, and violence. Plus, it gives men the option to literally walk a mile in women's high-heeled shoes. To find out more, call 314-645-2075 or go to ravenstl.org. Something for you from WGNU. How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Washington. Recently declassified documents show that American intelligence failed to give any warnings about nuclear weapons testing by India in the years leading up to its first test firing of a bomb in 1974. This seeming lack of concern about it is in light of the fact that nuclear weapons potential had been tracked since the 1950s. The documents show that going back to 1958, the CIA was aware that India was interested in developing nuclear weapons, but there's no explanation of why the CIA missed the actual test in 1974, as well as the one that took place in 1998. The U.S. had apparently put pressure on the Indian government not to carry out the 1998 test because it had discovered the test was about to take place through spy satellites. However, the test did take place, and it caught the United States by surprise. The Bush administration wants to come down hard on Iran for having nuclear programs, but it is also proposing a measure that would change American policies on exporting of nuclear technology in order to give favor to India's programs, which have already been shown to include weaponry. This is your wake-up call global news update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else, where else, where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, tractors, lawnmowers, everything you need for your house. You don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to go outside of your city. The only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis at 3425 Union. Get on down to Sears. It's the weekend. Let's get a little shop on. I'm Liz Brown. When you get down there, tell them I told you to.
Hey, this is Kelvin Sims of Kelvin's Corner here at WGNU Radio.
People are always asking me, where are you? Where have you been? Are you still on the air? The answer to that question is, Mr. Click and I are here each and every Friday at 10 p.m. Tune in and we'll talk about any and everything. As always, I will do my best to be fair. Again, that's Friday nights at 10 p.m. here at WGNU Radio Free St. Louis. And remember to be fair, because life isn't.
Oh, my tooth fell out.
The coach says I can play shortstop.
I can be a deciduous tree.
You live for the first in your child's life. But how do you cope with the first that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's run up, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
Cause a new day will come. And the Lord to the sun. Even when the darkness shall come.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and it is time for the Liz Brown Because We Care package giveaway. We have two different ones to do today. Yes, we do. We have two different packages to give away because, didn't get it done last week, so we're going to get it done this week. Let's start with last week first. As we listen to the barrel, turn the names around. Who's it going to be? The package this week is so nice. So nice. So many fun things in it. It's just my way of saying, oh, yeah, we care here. Let me see. First name out is G.T. Templeton. Congratulations, G.T. Templeton. Your package is awaiting you. All right, let's roll the barrel again. And let's see what we come up with. Hey, here we go. Liz Brown, Because We Care package. Doris White. Congratulations to you. Okay. We've got that one done. Let's move to this week because there's a different group of y'all that called in this week to see if you can get a Liz Brown Because We Care package. All right. Going to turn another barrel. Got to get two barrels in here to turn to get all these names. Here we go. The hand goes in. And what do we come out with? Al Sinclair, congratulations on your Liz Brown Because We Care package. All right, one more time as we go through the barrel. to get the name out for a person that's going to get some mugs, going to get some water bottles, going to get some magnets, and Perlina Minsa. Perlina Minsa. Congratulations. Congratulations to everyone. That's okay if you didn't get your name this time. That's all right. We got next week to do it. Congratulations. That's a Liz Brown Because We Care package. It'll be here waiting for you. Thanks. Now, I've been feeling this. Evaluating our good government. I think that you are judged by the company that you keep. If you choose to hang out with thuggish people, that makes you a thug. If you choose to hang out with lawless people, that makes you lawless. And if you are an employer and you employ thuggish people, that makes you thuggish as well. There was a recent decision made by this administration about who they were going to hire to be the spokesperson for the United States of America, spokesperson for the White House. Tony Snow is his name. And I just want to share with you the manner of man Tony Snow is, and what does that say about those who would choose to keep company? Oh, no. Employ such a man. Check out his own words, his own voice.
Here's the unmentionable secret. Racism isn't that big a deal anymore. No sensible person supports it. Nobody of importance preaches it. It's rapidly and thankfully becoming an ugly memory.
Excuse me? Racism is becoming an ugly memory. I guess you can tell that to the Robert Byrd family as he was drugged to death. You can tell that to black people who cannot get health care and do not get health care because of the color of their skin. You can tell that to brown people who are redlined and cannot get auto insurance and cannot get home loans. If we have an administration that has people that hires people to represent all of us, Tony Snow's position is to represent, we're paying him. Hire someone that is so pridefully detached from the reality of this world, so privately detached that they would tell lies about the state of the world. If he would tell this kind of bold-faced lie, and I would even put it in a special category. If he would tell this kind of hopeful, self-serving lie, what's he going to tell you when you ask him? So did the CIA send planes to kidnap people and take them to another country that practices torture? What do you think that this man's going to tell you? Think you're going to get the truth? Or is, and I got to ask the question, is the truth in him? I think you know the answer. My name is Liz Brown. It's coming to the end of another week. It's all good. We have a wonderful week coming at you. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you all. I'll get in your ear next week. Until then, stay strong.
All over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Another train of progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound that you propose at the low nation.